2 years. Then they can still come in later. They just have to go through the long.
Right. Right.
They want to keep their placement.
Interesting.
Is that vice president of the company? Oh.
I think that's what
we've
got.
Thank you.
You obviously know what
you're talking about. Who's the guy in blue? Who's the guy in blue? Did you see the guy in blue?
Just waiting for the monitor, AGP, and looking for that. Okay, thank you. Welcome, everyone. Today is Tuesday, September 29th. We're located at the Veterans Memorial Hall, 209 Surf Street. This is a special joint meeting. We have four of our advisory boards here this evening. We will be having a joint meeting with our General Plan Advisory Committee, fondly known as GPAC, which are sitting with us presently. We have a Citizen Advisory Finance Committee, Public Works Advisory Board, and the Harbor Advisory Board. And just by way of clarification, I know we have some times laid out on the agenda that by no means we're held to that. It was basically a kind of a courtesy, so folks didn't all show up at once and then wait until their time was ready for the next one. So we're getting started at right about 4:30, and we'll get going with that. We're not going through any formal announcements or anything. We have all council members are present, with the exception of our Mr. Makowetsky. Our thoughts go out to him. And with that, we will call the meeting to order, and we'll open up with public comment, and we'll just have one public comment at the very beginning of the meeting, and then we'll roll into each advisory meeting as we open and conclude. So for anybody who'd like to speak to public comment at this time, may please come forward. Seeing none, I'll close public comment, bring it back to council. And I just wanted to thank everyone for coming out. And I was going to open by reading, as I've done before during interviews, I was just going to read something from our advisory body handbook. And it's just one of the opening introductions. It says, "Welcome and thank you for your interest in serving on one of our city advisory boards. By serving on one of Morbay's advisory boards, you can help plan and guide the city's future. It is important that members of the advisory boards understand the functions and responsibilities of a board member. We hope that you find serving on the city's advisory board personally satisfying and in the process gain invaluable knowledge and experience." That's just the opening of our handbooks, and having a joint meeting today allows all of us to have fairly casual conversations and discuss whether it's roles or responsibilities or any other kind of questions that you all might have. You all are embarking on a very, very important part of Morro Bay, and that's our general plan, local coastal plan update. So that's very exciting, and it's a big responsibility, and there's going to be a lot of work for that. So I will open with council member remarks, if anybody wants to start out with remarks, and then we'll turn it over to our advisory committee for any opening remarks, and then we'll go into some discussions, and I'll lead off with that. Christine, do you have any opening remarks?
Oh, welcome, and I'm not sure my AV is working. Okay, great. Not that I have any really special opening remarks to offer you, but just wanted to welcome you to the joint meeting, and I wanted to actually ask a question of staff. So I know that your last meeting where you selected your chair and things like that was not available on Channel 20. Is that right? But are we – okay, so moving forward, we will be able to see all those meetings on Channel 20, and then that will be able to be uploaded to YouTube as well. Just kind of checking on that.
Depending on how we move forward with interviews for the consultants, we're not going to interview consultants in an open forum. It's not fair to the consultants.
Right.
So we won't be doing that portion of it, on TV. So.
Sure, right, absolutely. We've done several times, I think, with you know, I think a good example, a good model for the General Plan Citizens Committee is the WRF Citizens Committee, and I believe they interviewed consultants, and that was, you know, inappropriate to have on Channel 20. But I'm speaking specifically to, I'm not speaking to the committees or subcommittees, but I'm speaking to the official full meetings of the GPAC.
Our regular meetings when we're doing work on the general plan update will be televised, yes.
Okay, because I'm just confirming that it would be, since the last one was sort of a general meeting, but I guess for whatever reason, it just didn't make it on. So I wanted to just confirm that it would be on the city's calendar for coverage.
It will be moving forward with the exception of when we interview consultants.
Right, absolutely. I understand that. Okay, so like it or not, I guess you're going to be on TV. But the reason I bring it up is because everyone is talking about staff side, council side, and likely you, for you all as well, you want people to participate in this. So the way that people participate, it's very varied. People like to watch, some people like to read, some people like to attend, but we want to give all of the options to folks. So I think you're the overall meetings, I know I look forward to watching and keeping up with what all the boards are doing, too, so it enables all of us to keep up. So with that, just that was all I had to begin with. Thank you.
Thanks, Christine. John?
Well, welcome. My main question is, do you realize what you've gotten yourselves into, both from a time commitment and a community involvement and the task that lies before you? I saw nods, so I assume that that's a yes. And so I want to say I think all the advisory committees are extremely important to the community, this being one of the most important in my mind. And so I was impressed, as I recall the interview process that we went through, with the talent that we have in Morro Bay, and feel that we have a significantly talented group. I appreciate that. Of course, there are Brown Act issues. You can't ask us all to be there, but at any time, if you'd like to seek myself out for anything that I might be able to assist you with, I'd be happy to make myself available. So welcome, and good luck. Watch the clock, too. It's ticking fast.
Noah?
Yes, thank you, and good to see you all. I'd like to just talk briefly about the plan's approach for communications. I know you already have talked about and have some really great public outreach communication plans going, but specifically between the GPAC and the council, how we anticipate providing updates, which would also be available to the public, of course, and then specifically to make sure some of you may not be aware, we have an opportunity for our different advisory boards to communicate with the council either via memo or some form of an update at a council meeting or review by email. And that's so if you run into a situation at some point during this project that you're identifying a need that you could utilize some more assistance, we've already, I think, crossed one of the larger barriers with funding, but this we're here, I think, to help you, give you the tools you need to succeed in this adventure. So I think it'd be good to hear briefly from staff and then maybe from the chairs, have a little conversation about the plan to keep us in touch with each other and supporting each other.
Great. Noah?
I'll just say a key role of staff in the relationship between the council and all of our advisory bodies is communication. So in a large part, Scott is your staff, and really Scott and I are, because this is a huge and significant project, starting with vision and values, which is a community and citywide thing. So Scott and I are the primary facilitator between the advisory body and the council. However, it is absolutely appropriate for the advisory body itself, should it choose to communicate directly with the council through written memo or something like that that's approved by the entire, or voted on and approved by a majority of the advisory body. So we look forward to being that primary means of communication. And as you have issues that need to come to the council, Scott and I will do that, just like we do for most other operations in the city. But that direct communication between the advisory body and the council is an important tool also.
Great, thanks. And I've got maybe a little discussion with the resolution that was set on the table. But before we go into that, I thought maybe it'd be appropriate to hear from the advisory committee, and maybe Melanie, if you want to start off, if you have any questions, or if you don't feel you have any questions or comments, then please, we can just go on down the road, and if anybody have any questions, we can start there. Melanie, if you'd start us off.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here, and it's great to be getting started with the process. And I don't have any questions, but I would love to hear an update just as to where we are in the process with selecting a consultant, and as I'm sure we all would. I think that, as you said, it will be really great for me to, I think, get an understanding of. I noticed signs up around town asking people for their input. We talked about the survey, the phone survey last time, and I'm seeing signs around. So I think the word's obviously starting to get out. But it will be great to know kind of what kinds of response we're getting and what the overall plan is and just where we are in the plan to get this thing going. So thanks for having us here tonight.
Thank you, Jan. Thank you. Susan?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I was also interested in sort of how the input from the survey was going to be presented and shared. Is there somebody doing a transcript or report or some kind of summary or something like that? I did volunteer to be on the committee to select the consultant, and I think the consultant also should have access to that information. That's pretty obvious. And I'm also interested in trying to figure out how to get the power plant. It was kind of the big gorilla in the room for this effort, I think, how to get them involved and whether that would be the committee's role or the consultant's role or how that would actually happen. So as this develops, I'll be very interested to see how that goes.
Thank you. Dr. Taft?
Yeah, I'd just like to say I think we're all enthusiastic and eager to get this process rolling on a regular basis and move forward with selecting the consultant and working with them to get it going. I think there's a lot of energy and a lot of enthusiasm. And in terms of the communication thing, I would be happy to also commit to, being at the council meetings in case there are questions that Scott hasn't answered or additional comments from the committee. So we can certainly do that as well.
I don't have anything to say, but I wanted to see if I knew how to work the mic.
Susan?
One thing I was wondering about, I'm not afraid of homework, and wondered about when and how and where we could get a package of all the documents we're going to be reviewing. I know you have, a huge stack, and I'm one of the dinosaurs who actually likes paper, so that was a question.
Thanks, Susan. Rich?
No questions. I'm echoing the rest of the group here. I'm excited. We've only met once, but there is a lot of energy in our group, and I think everyone's excited about making an effective, positive change to the city with this GPAC group. So thank you.
Thanks, Rich. And based on some of the questions, perhaps Scott can give us an update on the process. Or Dave?
We're both.
Or both.
I took four notes, so I'm going to hit two of them, and Scott's going to hit two of them. So on the power plant, obviously maybe another dinosaur in the city. And the staff has, I should say the city has a good relationship with Dynegy staff. And with some of the others that are now sniffing around at the power plant. And so as that becomes an important factor for the general plan, then we can bring those folks into the room, to the table, into communication. So important. Of course, as we all know, the power plant sits on private property owned by corporations, so our primary leverage is land use leverage, and then general political leverage, and so and we want to use those appropriately. But as far as getting them into the room, we can certainly do that. Also, hit vision, value, mission, and the call in and the Code for America project or I should say, that's another tool in a project that's coming to you with you. So the way I see this going is we are working this now. The Code for America call-in is going to go for 21 days, so it's got about 2.5 weeks left. Those results, along with other inputs on the vision and values of our community, will come to you. You'll be able to, in fact, just so everybody knows, you can go on that right now and listen to all the comments that have been made, which is sort of neat. But so that is one source of input that will come to you for you to begin to craft a vision statement for the community and to begin to identify the values of the community. And then those are significant things that can, frankly, go to the council for approval even before the general plan two-year process is complete. So, and that could go as a tentative vision and values for us to say, you know what, this is what we think the starting point is as we go through the general plan, but we might modify those after 2 years of doing the general plan and getting, as we get more community input. So that's something that I think we would appreciate your input on. And a final thing on the call-in is one of our primary goals for that was to hear from folks who aren't normally engaged in the public process. And it's working. So there are well over 50 comments so far, which is pretty good. And 72% of those are people who have never engaged in a public process. So that is something, one of the key things we were trying to achieve by doing that and by, frankly, getting a free trial with City Voice is to hear from folks that wouldn't normally come to a public session or a council meeting or something like that, and they're dialing the phone and pushing in a location code and letting you know what their vision and values are for the community. Scott, on the last two.
As for the status of the RFP, you know, I've thought we've been done with working on the grant proposals, getting the agreements in place, and we've had some issues with that. And those things lead directly into the RFP and are a portion of it because the consultant's going to have to manage some of those grant components. And we've been done and our thought we were done, and then they've turned around and said, we're not done. I think we actually almost are done. We had a couple of minor tweaks to it that we sent back this week, and with any luck, this is it, and we're done. And if that's the case, then we could see release of the RFP. I do want to have the city attorney review it, so that probably would push it to next week. But it's pretty much complete, minus the piece that refers to the grants and the administration portion of that. But I'd want something in there for that, so the consultants that are proposing on the RFP know that there's a responsibility for that, because it's going to be a substantial amount of work. It'll be out for 30 days. So now, when we thought we'd be done in October, that's going to be November now. Beginning of November, though. Mm-hmm. And as far as the support material, all of our documents, when we sat down and started putting those together, we realized we didn't have finalized documents and we were missing some pieces in those. We're actively putting those back together now. We are also in the process of updating our website. So I was going to change the website that we have now and create a section for the general plan update and put these documents in there. Sam, our deputy city manager, says, wait, hold on. You know, we're going to be rolling out the new website, and, you know, we make all these changes to this. It doesn't go into the new one, so I need to have some more conversation with him about how that looks. That's coming up here in November as well. So there was a little bit of a start and stop on that piece of it. We have just about all of the updates done to all of the land use planning documents the city has, and so we'll be able to at least give you electronic copies and the hard copies that a couple of you wanted. Coming up here within probably a week or so. When we started opening them up, we realized we had several different versions, and we had to run down to make sure we were giving you the current version. So everybody's starting with the same material. So anyway, that's where we're at with those two pieces.
Thanks. And were there any other questions from that response?
One other question, Scott, that was actually brought up by someone else here on the panel is there a point to our beginning our meetings before the consultants is hired? Are there preliminary things that we can do prior to that?
So good question. So the City Voice component of what we're doing is going to end in 2 weeks approximately. There's a lot of metrics that go along with this on the back end of it that we're going to be able to give you along with the responses that we received. And that's, you're going to start working on the vision values statement as part of that. So as soon as that's done, we're going to schedule, I'm going to spend a little bit of time collecting the information and putting it in a usable format for you. But then we're going to meet, and you're going to go over it, and we're going to start that process of the vision and values, preparing the vision and values statement. And then that's going to roll right in. By that time, we'll be rolling right into the, you know, getting the RFPs in and reviewing them and that type of thing. So it's going to be continuous, I think.
And then do you anticipate that we'll be having, like, a regular meeting time, 6 a.m. every other Tuesday or whatever. Maybe not.
I hope it's not at 6 a.m. every other Tuesday, since I come late every Tuesday, as do you some days,
yes.
Dr. Teft. But
6 a.m. Wednesday, you could just stay
here. Yeah, it's sleeping quarters for staff. Okay. And so I do. I think we're probably going to work with the consultant that we end up hiring to develop a schedule for regular meetings. I think that's probably what's going to come together. It's going to be a group effort, and we'll sit down with you, and we'll come up with what that schedule is. So,
great. So if I could, we can get started on the vision values piece very soon. And if you would like to schedule a couple of meetings in the next 8 weeks, 6 weeks before you need to have a meeting to interview possible consultants, that'd be great. And if we did two meetings to start to wrestle with and form up vision and values, because, and then, as I said, what you may want to end up doing is have a tentative that goes, that's sort of our working document, our working vision and values that start to guide us. And as we start to hear from more in the community, then those might change a little bit at the end of the process. But that can be done. We don't need to wait for the consultant to start that piece of it, I think.
And I think there's some housekeeping that we could do, too. For example, selecting a meeting time, deciding how we're going to give feedback to the council. Do we want to give a written report every quarter, or do we want to do it orally? All those kind of issues I think we could start to deal with.
Great. I think we had one more question, Rich, and then back to Noah.
Yes, Scott. I don't remember if we discussed in our first meeting, but when the RFP goes out next week, then can we get copies of that to start doing our homework to study, so we can kind of get an idea of questions we'll be asking?
You can have hard copies of it. It'll be online on the city's website as well.
Oh, it'll be online.
Yeah, we post
okay.
it on there.
Thank you.
We have an RFP section on the website.
Perfect.
Susan, yeah. And then back to council.
Okay. Yeah. In terms of assessing the consultant applications or the proposals, is there a scoring system of some kind?
I was going to put one together. Yes.
Okay. All right. So it's not something that's in the RFP. It's just going to be something that we're going to have.
I debated on putting it in there, and I left it out.
Okay.
I wasn't sure if I was going to go with the one that I initially looked at. I thought there might be other, opportunities to do something a little bit different. So.
Okay.
Thanks, Noah.
Yes, just briefly, I thought the idea of having the packet available online is good. We did have an excellent request to put the packet for the water reclamation facility in the library, and it'd probably be beneficial to have this historic document of all the things that relate to the general plan update also available at the library for people to access.
All of the land use documents that go into the review?
Yeah.
Yeah, we could certainly do that if we already haven't. It might already be there.
Okay.
But I'll look into it.
Rent a room in the library to do that.
Yeah, it is about that tall. Quite large.
Okay, great. John?
I would assume that you, like the other committees, especially the WRFCAC, will be having someone there taking minutes and will be a routine part of your process, correct? Looking at staff or
we'll be doing minutes like we do minutes for the mostly like action minutes that we do for the Planning Commission and something similar to the City Council,
because that is a great communication tool besides watching you on Channel 20 to have for documentation. So for me, that's just really good communication. And so if you weren't going to do it, I was going to suggest highly that you did. So thank you.
Thank you. I wanted to bring out the resolution that was placed on everyone's spot there and just go over that briefly. This was a resolution 1815, which was approved by council. And it basically is a resolution committing to updating our general plan. And with council's support, I just wanted to throw out a proposal for the General Plan Advisory Committee, and that would be to draft your own resolution committing to updating the general plan. And with council support for discussion, using this particular resolution, Resolution 1815, maybe through one of your meetings where you're discussing vision values, you can use this as a template. You can, as an outline, I would imagine part of the mission for the General Plan Advisory Committee would be collaboration outreach for the committee, develop a general plan and local coastal plan that reflects the community vision for the future, and commit to meeting the city's goal and updating the general plan by December 2017. That's just kind of an outline of what could be constructed in the resolution, and I would just entertain some comments from council and the board. I'll start with council. If anybody want to comment on that? None? John?
Great idea. I think it's a great idea.
Okay. Christine?
Yes, I'm sure yours will be a little bit more fun than ours. Ours is pretty basic. So if you could enliven it a little, breathe some air into it, that would be great. No, I think it would be terrific. And I know that I feel very married to resolutions, and they can come back to haunt us as well. So keep that in mind. But it helps us focus. And it's a little corny, you know, whereas, but it also can be sort of, you know, official and formal and reminds us how important these processes are. And truly, you know, the last group to go through this, that document still lives, and that's, you know, nearly 30 years ago. So that's a good thing that meant that what you're doing is really important. But what you're doing does have a lasting, I guess what I would say, resonance in the community. So to begin with a very clear vision for yourselves, I think a resolution is appropriate. So thanks.
Great. Any comments from the board?
One quick comment looking at the deadline, December 2017, mm-hmm. which is now closer to 2 years away instead mm-hmm. of three. Are we hoping to complete this in basically 2 years by
that's
the time we get our
That's
consultants?
What we committed to.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Excellent.
Yeah.
I think a resolution would be an excellent way to put down in writing what it is we're thinking, because so often when we look at our current general plan, we go, what were they thinking? So 20 years from now, whoever's looking at it will have the answer to that question.
Yeah, and as you look at this one as a template, just for suggestion, for one, I wanted to be able to share this because this was a commitment by this council. For updating the general plan and local coastal plan. So I thought it was appropriate to share that. And then the other part of that is obviously the whereases, you know, are part of the story, and then it's also part of the commitment. So it gives you all that opportunity to create the story and commitment for the General Plan Advisory Committee. And, I would hope to see you embrace that, and it would be a great, you know, tool and a great statement for the community on what this committee wants to do. Susan?
Yeah, I mean, this might be kind of a weird idea, but thinking about documenting things that we're thinking about so people can say, well, what were they thinking? I'm just wondering, in addition to the actual plan, is there any other historical either documentation, or is there any perhaps anybody around who actually was involved in that earlier plan that might have something to offer, or something that we might look at and think about as to why it turned out the way it did and what were the things they thought about when they were doing it.
Yeah, and that, you know, that could be part of the research is, and the vision research as well. But I think if you look at the general plan in the front part of the document, it gives you a history, and that's pretty cool as well. You know, we can start into, you know, what the general plan is, but the existing one that we have gives a foundation history that's pretty compelling as well. So it seems like there's consensus from council in supporting having the General Plan Advisory Committee draft a resolution that would use this 1815 resolution as a document. You could formulate guidelines and commitments in which the board wants to formalize, and that would be left up to you to work out and draft, and then that could come back to council as the General Plan Advisory Committee's commitment, and then we can share that with the community. Great. Okay. Any other comments?
If I could, real quick, just maybe a public service announcement. So the 10, and this would be for all of our boards and commissions, the November 10 council meeting, the first council meeting in November, is scheduled to be the City of Morro Bay first annual city update. Might be the only annual city update. We'll see how it goes. But instead of a council meeting which deals with six or seven different action items, it will be primarily an update on our city goals and objectives for the council to communicate to the community and then the staff where we are as a city. From the staff perspective, we've got 73 objectives to complete this year. Here's the ones that are done. Here's the ones that we're working on. Here's the ones that have been tabled. Here's the ones that we're working on after, you know, in January, February, March, whenever. So that will be the primary driver is here's where we are. So it'll give you a good sort of snapshot of where we are as a city right at about the time that we're interviewing general plan consultants. And then for this one, we'll include a very brief how we ended fiscal year 14-15 update. That'll be super brief. It'll also include, since we had the management partners report come out this year, what those 64 recommendations were. Not going through each of them, but here's how the staff is dealing with those and the council. So these 15 we've already implemented. These 7 we're bringing to you. These 12 we plan to bring to you. You know, we recommend you put on your goals and objectives for next year. But so we'll be dealing professionally with that management partners report and each of the recommendations in it. And then finally, as Scott mentioned, this what got me thinking about this, is the city's updated website will be going live right about that time. And so we intend to take a little bit of time in that city update to talk about how we are communicating with the community, what all of the various vessels are to communicate to the community and to hear from the community. So from new website to 4 or 5 times a day, Facebook updates, to water bill mailers, to Bay News articles, all of the various communication tools that we hope will give everybody in the community a good understanding of how we're trying to get information out and how residents can get information to the city staff and to council and boards and commissions. So that's November the 10th.
Okay, great. And John?
And just one last comment, which I assume for this board doesn't apply, but you have no vacancies, is that correct?
Yes, they do.
Okay, and so I think I'm going to ask each and every board that comes up, do you have any vacancies for our public out there? You have one, and what would be the process for someone to be able to apply that might be interested and qualified out there?
We have, great, thank you, and this is a great opportunity for me to do 2 minutes on this subject as well. So the city normally advertises and does board changeover in January. So the normal process is we do the recruiting in January and then go through the interviews in January. And at the end of January, beginning of February, is when vacancies people leaving a board leave the board and people coming on come onto the board. We have a number of vacancies on several boards right now. Some are quite significant. For example, the TBID board is short 3 people, which means they only have 4, which means if one person can't make a meeting, they don't have a quorum. So in order to address that issue and try to do it in a fiscally responsible and efficient manner, we are, I think it started this week, advertising for all of the vacancies for all of our boards and commissions, both the vacancies that are currently empty seats and the seats that will become vacant on January the 31st of next year. So we are doing the recruiting now, and then that will happen through the month of October. I believe it's at the first meeting in November. We have interviews scheduled for the council. The council then in early November will appoint residents to those empty positions and to the positions that may be vacated in January. So some appointees will go straight into empty seats, and other ones will be waiting in the wings until the 31st of January, should there be anybody that is leaving a board and hasn't reapplied to take that position. And to be clear, as with our normal process, one of the things we do is we identify what members are which members have terms expiring on the 31st of January, and we will reach out to those particularly and say, your term is expiring and we would like you to reapply, and please reapply this way. And that's sort of our normal process. So what's changed is we're going to be doing that in the month of October and early November, and do it for all of the empty positions and the positions that will be vacated in January. So it's happening right now. In fact, it's on the front page of the website. The recruitment goes for 4 weeks, I believe.
Great. And with that, if there's any closing remarks?
Just a quick question. Thank you, Mayor. A couple of us at least, have discussed this. Would we have the prerogative to decide that 8 is enough? No pun intended, but or do we have to have the 9 because that's what council originally laid out, or would it be something we could have that option? I'm not sure where it's headed.
Yeah, you know, and I don't know if there's really a whole lot of voting to this board per se, but you know, we can weigh in with staff's comments on that. But you know, I certainly think, you know, considering we're already advertising all this, it seems as though we're going to be bringing another person into the fold as well. But
I mean, the council did spend time deliberating the number,
yeah,
you'll recall,
yep,
and came up with 9. We spent, yep, a little while doing that, and I think it's a good idea to have an odd number because they will move items forward, and they will vote on, you know, they will have a lot of information before them. They will be sorting through it, and as a board, they'll be voting on that, moving it forward, what ends up in the document. So, yeah, I think it's important, and I think it's good to have an odd number. So,
boom. Thanks, Scott.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Closing remarks? Noah, do you want to start off with any closing remarks? Any closing remarks?
Go get them.
All right. Good. John?
Ditto.
Christine?
I was wondering, speaking of the board, remind us, I assume it is, but a Brown Act falls under the Brown Act. This board does as well, right? Okay. So when we're talking, so then how will that impact their committees with the number of 9? They'll be able to work in committees of 3? And just kind of keeping people aware that when they're having, you know, kind of side conversations about how exciting this is and how they can't wait to bring their resolution forward, that they're aware that, you know, 5 of them can't meet for coffee and chat about it. So I think just a refresher, perhaps, from staff end on that.
You know, it is a Brown Act committee, and so a majority of them cannot meet at any time. Right now, you know, there's 8 of you, but there will be 9. As soon as you finish the recruitment. So, yeah, I mean, that's the case. It's a Brown Act committee like every other Brown Act committee that we have in the city. So
one of the next scheduled meetings, there's discussions about scheduled next meetings. Could the next one be a Brown Act, part of the agenda be a Brown Act education as well?
It's a good idea. That's a good idea. And I think maybe I'll start talking to Dr. Teft about our next meeting, since he's had some ideas about things he might want to agendize. So do that and then work a date up.
Okay, great. Thanks. And with that, we just want to say thanks for your service, because I know it's a long road ahead, and we're excited for you. So thanks very much. Thank you. That'll conclude our General Plan Advisory Committee joint meeting. And as soon as we'll just take a little pause, and then our next advisory board would be our Citizens Advisory Citizens Finance Committee that would be coming up next. And we'll just take a pause as people shuffle through. We'd like to invite our finance committee forward. Thank you. Thank you.
Susan.
So we'd like to invite our finance committee up when they're ready, and our GPAC committee, if you would kindly move aside. Thank you.
Scott, you're excused.
Okay, AGP, I think we'll move on to our next meeting as I look towards the monitor for your cue. I think we're ready to go. Thank you. All right, welcome. We're moving on to our next joint meeting for the audience, the viewing audience, and for our finance committee. Welcome. Previously, for those who may not have been here at the previous joint meeting, we took public comment at the very beginning of that joint meeting, so we're not going to move into any public comment for this session. We would open it up for public or any announcements or comments from council, and then move to the chair, and then the chair can facilitate any announcements from or opening comments from the board. And then we'll come back with any discussion and questions, concerns from there. And with that, I'm a little bit repetitive for those who may not have been here, but at the last joint meeting, I opened with a statement that's right out of our advisory body policy and handbook. And I'm just going to read the first paragraph to that. I think it's relevant. And basically, welcome and thank you for your interest in serving on one of our city's advisory boards. By serving on one of our Morbay advisory boards, you can help plan and guide the city's future. It is important that members of the advisory boards understand the functions and responsibilities as a board member. We hope that you find serving on the city's advisory boards personally satisfying and in the process gain invaluable knowledge and experience. It's the opening paragraph in our handbook. A great opening for that, and it's basically a great opening for this meeting to open up dialogue amongst the board and council. So with that, I'll turn to my left. If there are any opening comments from Christine.
Well, welcome, everyone, just briefly. And as you know, that the folks before you were the General Plan Advisory Committee, and they actually have a termination date. We don't know when it is exactly yet. We hope it's in 2 years. But your committee is one that will stay with us, but it is also a new committee, the combining of one committee and creating a new one. So I think that there's a lot of excitement about having a new advisory board to guide us. And there also will be things where, you know, we're not quite sure how it's going to work. So I think no one has, you know, the recipe exactly for how this is going to work. So, you know, if you have questions or things aren't seeming to flow in the way that you were hoping they would, or you have questions, and you know, please feel free to say, hey, you know, hold on a minute, let's reassess, because I think ultimately this is going to be one of our most important committees, because I believe that the budget is our most important function that we do as a city, and that's how we prioritize what our vision and values is for our community. So, you know, getting that into a numbers format and then making sure we're communicating what the numbers mean in terms of, you know, our priorities is an important function for you as folks are kind of the go-between between the staff and between council and between the general public. So if at some point you're thinking this isn't what you signed up for, just, you know, let us know. We'll let the mayor know. Call the mayor. Just teasing. Call any of us. Thanks.
Thanks, Christine. John?
Welcome. I'm excited about this committee as well. I think from afar there's been a need for some time for an oversight committee. In reading the paper yesterday or today, there's a need for an oversight committee, at least by certain other cities, if you haven't read the paper yet. But I think this offers the opportunity actually for staff to have a liaison group to actually assist, and a second set of eyes collectively to look over very important items and issues that come before the city. And so I appreciate each of you volunteering, and I also appreciate the work plan that you've brought us so far, and I'll comment on that later. So welcome.
Great, John. Noah?
Yes, thank you. And I also am very excited for the work that you're going to be doing and assistance to us as we look at the budget. My question will be a little bit related to mine in the previous committee meeting, in that I think the communication between our group and yours is going to be very important. I'm impressed with your work plan, and as I am with your qualifications, but the work plan here is laid out very nicely. I did notice there wasn't any real detail about how the committee's recommendations would be coming to council, so I think it'd be good for us to just touch base on the specifics there. And there may be some special assignments. I'm sure we'd have some debate at the council meeting about this, but as different items come before us that have a very strong financial slant to them, I'm thinking one example is the recent community choice aggregation regarding energy and the idea of creating a public utility. I could see the council having a conversation about perhaps recommending that the Finance Committee take a look at that, and I think today might be a good time to just confirm that we think and the committee would be willing to entertain those, or at least consider those on a case-by-case basis beyond our traditional working budget. So those are my two questions or comments.
Thank you, Noah. And I'm going to remain with my opening remarks from our handbook as opening comments to you all, and just welcome you once again. And then I'll turn it over to your chair, Ms. Bagnola, to facilitate the board.
Thank you, Mayor Irons, and City Council members, and welcome everybody. I speak for all of my colleagues here. We thank you for the opportunity to serve in this fashion, and especially with the enhanced mission statement migrating from Measure Q to now the Citizens Finance Committee. So I understand Christine's concerns, and we will have to work through some of the logistics, and we are prepared to do that. We've had two meetings, as you know, an introductory meeting, pretty high level, and then we had a meeting last week to discuss our work plan, which, thanks to Susan Slayton, she helped us coordinate that, and Mr. Buckingham's suggestions from the introductory meeting. So we've all agreed we're ready to go with that. I believe we have a very diverse, energetic, enthusiastic, educated people with a variety of experience, everything from government accounting, small business, corporate finance, consulting businesses, as well as the majority, three of our members are serving on other political boards, which will help us, I believe, certainly in the communication. My experience has been the communication will be primarily back to council through memorandums and meeting minutes, but we welcome any of you that want to come to any of our meetings. We've been coordinating through Susan Slayton, so if that's okay, that invite will come that way, especially for some special items. And I do think we could handle or certainly be willing to look at some special items. Some of these items here are actually going to be reviews of things that have been done by either management partners or auditors. And I think if you can confirm, you look at us to review that at a high level, another set of eyes, citizens' perspective. You know, do the goals match the budget, or does the budget match the priority of the goals? Similar to how we did with Measure Q, for those of you that were involved in that. So that's kind of what I would look at, and I'll open it up to some comments from my committee members here. And let's see, Susan, would you like to start?
Sure.
You've already been up here. Thank you.
Hello again. I'm also very impressed with this committee. We had a really good discussion this last week on our work plan, and I think it's this committee is really willing to get its, for lack of a better term, get its hands dirty and sort of digging in. I think one of the first requests we had was to take a look at the pavement management plan, which might not be everyone's idea of a good recreational opportunity, but I think this group is really willing to get down and into those kinds of details and become knowledgeable and be able to give good advice. So I think this committee will be a good tool to be available to the council, and I would encourage you to use us that way.
And thank you. I'll make a comment on that. I know we were asked about the pavement management plan or the streets or the financing last week. We collectively decided we were not prepared to make any recommendation within a week. We've asked, and Susan has given us the PM, the 2011 pavement management plan, which we'll be going through. Susan is also working on some financing options with iBank. Then after we take a look at that and maybe talk with Rob, a little more specific on the criteria for how we will choose streets if that's the recommendation. So that's going to take some time. We welcome that, but we're not prepared to do that tonight, obviously. So, and that's the direction we'll probably go with on some other special recommendations you ask us, if that's okay. Betty, please.
Well, I'm one of the people that love to do details, and so everything is in the details, and so I will be looking through the paperwork to see what the bottom detail is that may be a step up to keep the plan or to go down and do something else. So I don't like my hands dirty, but I do like to dig in the details. Yeah.
Well, I would just agree with all the comments made by our committee, and I think would look forward to special assignments that are of particular interest to the council as well.
I have one other comment, just food for thought. In thinking about the numbers, we have five on this committee. I don't know if it's always, to my knowledge, it's always been five as long as I've served. But that, if we do enhance our role significantly in the future, I would ask you to think maybe about bumping that up. And primarily where that affects is in the subcommittee. Right now, a subcommittee is two. So just, I don't want to upset the apple cart right now, but just food for thought going long range. If this new approach works out, we may want to consider that, especially if we have a lot of other number crunchers like myself that love math.
And to respond to that, considering the talent and expertise that you have, perhaps you could do some of the filtering out in the community, not filtering, but advocating out in the community. If there's others that have similar skill set to encourage that. You know, if there is the consideration for council to bump this up, you certainly are the eyes and ears, and probably would have a really good understanding and encouragement to have anybody come out if we were to choose that. So that would be the ask at this point.
That's how we got Susan here. So
exactly.
We're on a good roll.
Yeah, good.
She grew me
into it. Yeah. Christine, you want to start us off with any other comments?
I do have one general comment, but I know that many of you perhaps want to go into a more detailed way over through the work plan,
yep.
Which I will wait to hear from those of you who enjoy that. But what I do want to mention is I was struck about a year and a half ago with the city of Walnut Creek in Northern California. And they won an award through the League of California Cities for their budget outreach to their community. And basically they had a budget, and I can get this to Susan, and she can share with you and with the council. Basically they had a budget, they were having budget troubles, but people in their community, when they did a happiness survey essentially, and the people had super high satisfaction with living in the community of Walnut Creek, but the reality soon wasn't going to mesh with the available funds for the city to continue to make quality of life. You know, I think it was really like 96% happiness, satisfied. So the one part that's not yet here on your work plan, and I think we can all take a role in it, the council along with this committee, is how do we do direct to the community outreach during the time when we're asking for them to give us their priorities? When would we do that in terms of, you know, staff will help us too. Would we want to do that ahead of goal setting? Do we want to, but we certainly want to do it ahead of the goal setting and the budgeting process combined, because I think that that's the piece that sometimes we're missing in terms of how do we get the public to understand our budget? How do we present it that it's to, so it's a simple for people to understand, busy people to understand, and then how do we get real strong input from the community directly? So, you know, it could be something simple like setting up a table at a farmer's market, could be, you know, going to other events that are already happening for an hour or two and just asking people to give us their input. I'm looking for, you know, some creativity, not extra work, not extra time, but just to make sure we're doing that outreach. And I think that we will raise people's awareness by having this committee and having it on Channel 20. But just in general, maybe we could review the Walnut Creek story and figure out what does that mean for Morro Bay, given our limited resources and given that we all are committed to doing other things. But just kind of keep an eye on that piece, just as a general kind of comment. And I'll forward to Susan, who'll get to you the award-winning program. Thank you.
Great.
Thanks. I think we'd like to take a look at that. And you're absolutely right. If you look at the city's budget now, whether it's on the website or whatever, and the general ledger funding, it is so difficult to understand for a non, maybe even for a finance person, that I think that would scare people. What I would envision is some kind of little wallet card or something, a summary at a high level. Oh, by the way, Measure Q, 30% of this is already committed to the debt service. We have 60%. We spend a little here and there. End of story. Something you could fit on, you know, 4x6 or smaller, and that at least would get somebody's people's attention. And that's what you put out there. But we could, you know, work that, the details of that. But you're right. Something could help.
Okay, great. As we get into further discussion, I know, I think unless there's the desire to jump into the work plan as a discussion, but we also have a liaison position we will need to discuss as a council as well, since we don't have a council liaison to this committee. And John, do you want to have any other comments, or does the board want to start into the work plan discussion?
Okay. Is this, yeah, good, on? Can you hear me okay? Good. I believe we've already asked for two special projects, and that those two, my recollection would be oversight and management of some of the wastewater treatment facility spending and cost allocation. And I personally met with our project manager this last week and discuss that in some detail, but I do recall us making that recommendation at one of the council meetings because of the magnitude of that project. And so that goes back to the size of your committee, and that could be a huge endeavor, and I would certainly welcome thoughts about expanding the size of your committee. The second was also, and it may be in here and I just missed it, but a review of the audit. After the audit has been completed or being involved in that, and I'm taking that for granted, but when the audit is done, I would assume that this committee would be involved in a review of that process itself. And I do remember also somewhere along the way making that recommendation in the past. And I think the chairperson alluded to something that's very important. Many folks on council and or in the community don't speak financial ease, and so
presenting reports in an understandable fashion would be a key goal for myself. That would be one for the committee, I should say. Second would be using that process that we have for our 10-year budget forecast. I don't want to get into that because that's in your work plan, but there's the ability to scenario plan on that. And I know the city manager can talk to you in detail about that, but it's very powerful in its ability to forecast based upon changing a number of parameters. So there's a really great tool that you have there. And last but not least is the possibility of benchmarking. There are, if you haven't seen them, and Susan can point them out to you, a number of state databases that are available online that you can go to and get literally all the volumes of data that she has presented for every city in the state of California. And it's arranged in various different formats, and there's great benchmarking information there. So if you haven't seen or become familiar with those websites, I and or Susan can certainly help you with those. So I'm excited about what you're going to do, and just some comments.
Thanks, John. Noah?
Yeah, just briefly, I was glad to hear you talk a little bit about ability to perform within the number of committees that you have and the amount of time that you have. So I would strongly encourage you to be able and willing to set boundaries. And as you look at the things that we may be tasking you with or requesting that you help us with, to have a very clear open line of communication with us. We may talk about this at the Public Works Advisory Board joint meeting here pretty soon, but you do have the leeway to be able to send us a communication saying, hey, we think this is an important discussion. We will need some more time. We would understand if you need to make a decision now, but this is our estimate of what we'd like to see in time and information to be able to make a good informed recommendation to you. So I would definitely encourage you to do that as necessary.
Thanks, Noah. And just to piggyback on that comment, conversely, if too much is coming, you know, there's you're not a dumping ground. Yeah. Pardon the, you know, I mean, you know, just to be blunt, I mean, hey, if there's too many things, just like, you know, that communication needs to come back and say, look, there's either too much, we're going to have to change priorities, and just let us, you know, let us be thoughtful that way and not to get overzealous on your talent. And if those, you know, maybe it'd be a good time to start a conversation about the work plan. And I know I have, you know, it was well laid out. I appreciate that. Thanks for both staff and the board working diligently on that. I'll just make some brief comments and open up to council for their comments on this. Reviewing our management partners' 2015 report, there were some recommendations in that document, and as part of this work plan, I would like to incorporate all the items that came out of that management partners. So management partners, the 2015 report made recommendations on financial policies and budget best practices. They were pretty specific. I would like to use that management partners document as a meeting all those recommendations. They've made recommendations first to review those, and I'd like to be able to have this committee review all those recommendations and see how we can get through those. The other one is reviewing the existing budget policy and combine all that and create a budget policy handbook, be it hard copy or electronic. I know we go through some of that during our budget process, but to create all that. And then finally, my comment on this would be, per council direction from our budget workshop, was to create a waterfront master plan fund. So we have a general plan maintenance fund. So there's a certain fee that comes out of community development fees that goes into a general plan maintenance fund, and that is used to amend or update our general plan. Part of the discussion during our budget workshop was to do the same for our waterfront master plan and create a waterfront master plan fund. So basically have the committee review the general plan maintenance fund and that policy and see how we can do that with our waterfront master plan fund, which would be, I'm assuming, part of our harbor enterprise fund. So we have, as we manage our waterfront master plan, we can formalize some sort of policy that will create a fund to maintain our waterfront master plan. If you have any questions on that, basically we're going to have to update our waterfront master plan as well. That's going to be an expense. Yet we don't necessarily have a designated fund for that. And I know we had some discussion during the budget workshop on that, and I just wanted to open that up for more conversation. But there is a policy out there, and would like to have you all review and come up with a policy for that. And those are my comments on the work plan. And I'll look to my left, Christine, if you have any comments on that.
Well, I'm feeling a little overwhelmed already by thinking about what there is to do. I'm sure I'm not alone up here. Yes, we definitely don't want to lose track of the work that Management Partners did for us that we also paid for, so we want to make sure we're getting a lot out of it. But before I comment on those specific things, I think we'll get through everyone's comments on council on that and kind of prioritize. But I did want to ask, follow up on Councilmember Heading's comment. Remind me what you said about the WRF finance focus, and then I was going to hope that we could take advantage of Ms. Bagnola being on the WRF Citizens Advisory Committee as well. And I believe she's on the budget committee for WRF. Am I right? So is that
yes,
true?
Yes, it's a budget and community outreach committee of three.
Okay. Correct. So just trying to keep track of what everyone's doing already. So there's already a subcommittee doing the focus on that project. And I wanted to know from Mr. Heading how he saw that happening in that committee interacting with this committee so that we're not crossing, you know, too many wires.
Yes, and in this simple mind, that is exactly what I was alluding to, specifically making the recommendation at the committee meeting that specific body be the oversight body. So my apologies for confusing this body with that body. We have so many bodies now. But that is certainly sufficient. I don't want to make a duplicate body. So thank you, Christine, for clarifying that for me. I appreciate it.
Oh, that's okay. Right. And we're just lucky that we have got Barbara Spagnola sitting in both seats. Okay,
exactly.
Great.
So
I don't have anything else to add right now. I'll hear what everybody else has to say about the work plan. Thanks.
Thanks, Christine. John.
Thank you. I will just piggyback on what the mayor said about the power of the Management Partners report. And what I would be interested in somewhere down the line would be a list of the highest risk items for this city in the future. And that's not a real detailed project, but, you know, over the next 5 years, these are the top five or eight items of greatest financial risk to the community, vis-a-vis CalPERS, a retirement fund, you name it, and so that we get a sense of what the priority issues are. And then secondarily, and I think these two are related, the things that we have not been able to fund in the past years, example, a capital budget, in general, but things that have not allowed us to move forward and where the shortfalls might be with regard to routine community funding, city funding, and a lot of this falls out from benchmark comparisons and this Management Partners report. So I don't think, hopefully I'm creating this gigantic work plan for you, but just to help us focus, because that's where budgets really, I think the dollars for budgets need to flow to those items that are either highest risk or highest need. So I would just add that, and thank you so much.
Thanks, John. Noah? None? Just want to follow up on one more question and for council. Maybe it doesn't have to be said, but I thought I'd discuss it anyway. But during the budget workshop, and we obviously last year had quite a bit of discussion on water rates, and we revisited water rates, received our letter from the Water Authority and letting us know that we weren't meeting our debt coverage ratio. And there was some discussion on how that's discussed during the budget process. And without getting into a lot of details on that, council did talk about that at council meeting and during the budget time on how we're able to identify during the budget process, specifically, I'll use the water fund as an example, because how do we identify the water fund and whether or not how the deficit is being managed in that? Because as our water rate consultant was informing council and the city, that deficit was identifies whether or not we're meeting our debt coverage ratio and our obligation for our water commitment with the Water Authority. So I think I'd like to make sure and maybe get some comments from others on council, look at that and how we are identifying during the budget process those details. And specifically, I think the water one is the example, because as an example, that was going on a few years and it wasn't necessarily identified to us as council. And I think maybe that speaks to Councilmember Heading's comment about the specifics and how things are laid out in a budget. Is it clear for us, and were we able to identify that? So maybe for this board, you'd be able to identify those types of funds and whether or not we're on target or running a deficit on those funds. Maybe John, you can comment and help me through some of my comments on that.
Yeah, sure. And I think that's analogous to my comment about high risk items. I think we're talking about the same thing, and that would have on my list been right up there as one of the highest risk items for the city. Lost opportunity costs, $900,000 a year, fairly significant, should have fallen out somewhere. But proactively understanding, whoops, that's an issue. We need to do something about that quickly. So that's what I'm thinking with regard to that. So I think when I meant risk items, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Any other discussions? No?
I'll just say that I think that is one of the key services that the committee will provide us as they look at the budget as a whole and help us identify potential challenges that are coming forward so that we can be more proactive.
Thank you. And then we'll go back to the chair for questions and comments.
I think Susan has a question.
Yep.
No, go ahead.
Actually, I was thinking too that this group probably will have to interact a lot with the other groups. For example, we were talking about water rates. Well, you've got I'm also on the general plan advisory group and the advisory committee. And if you're looking at things like zoning or encouraging water conservation or landscaping regulations or anything having to do with zoning that goes or with water use that goes into the general plan, that will have to tie back into the financial aspect of how the city's run and the impacts on the city budget. So I think it's going to be a real challenge to try and get everybody all coordinated moving forward to make sure that all the interactions are taken into consideration.
Thank you. And I understand the comment about the metrics. We have a saying in the corporate world, what gets managed, what gets measured gets managed. But that's not always so easy to do. So I welcome maybe some of those databases. And I also see that relating to the challenge of how things that should have raised financial red flags fell through the cracks, and somehow you have to get the detail in your financial systems up to a level where you have some checks and balances without being overly bureaucratic in that. So maybe from a citizen's perspective, certainly we can help you with that. So and also I think over the last couple of years, I even emailed a couple of the city council members because I thought that management study, I read the original one, I think it was back in 2008. Yes, was very good, and we had the opportunity to update that. And that sometimes as much as you hate to spend the money, you need to really, you know, bite the bullet and get an outsider in here. So I think that study is very important. We can certainly look at it and give you some more comments where we go from there.
Thank you.
Betty,
thank
comments?
Well, I don't welcome the work, but I really do see where we're going here, because to me, before it was just like fairy dust going through the budget, and you just didn't have any meat and potatoes to it. And so I really appreciate having the full meal this time.
Thank you, Betty.
Yes, I've got two questions. As far as the performance metrics that were discussed, are you focusing on developing a performance-based budget? Is that performance metrics that are introduced into the budget? Is this what you're referring to as far as the performance metrics are concerned?
We've not really discussed changing our budget format to a performance-based budget or a needs-based or priority-based budget. So there's not been that discussion yet about moving in that direction. I know the reports that Councilmember Heading's talking about, they're the state controller's reports, where you can look at performance over multiple years and compare cities of like size. So I think that might be more what he was referring to, and looking at how they're doing. I don't think we're going into taking the budget and, yeah, in that regard.
So that's a very good clarification, that the metrics are to get a sense of what spending is in similar cities for similar activities, as opposed to performance metrics.
That's what I would think we're after.
I think it's an iterative process that will develop over time, and I wouldn't task you with that tremendous task of trying to develop that up front. I think eventually down the line, good measures in terms of budget performance are absolutely necessary, but I think right now with the focus you've got and the magnitude of work that Betty's excited about, the meat, so-called meat, is enough. And there's so much good data out there right now, including our management partners report. I'm thinking of simply a dashboard, if that makes sense, a financial dashboard that's just easy for the non-financial policy setter to look at initially. And then as we progress, man, we can have those great policy discussions about those kinds of performance metrics and monitoring.
Okay, so that's a good clarification. And then the second question I had was involving the review of the policy handbooks. I think there was a mention of what management partners had created, and then the existing budget policies, and then the creation of a budget handbook. Did I hear that correctly?
Yes, we at the second, or I think the second budget, I went through it on council. There's reference points. I'm just talking from my experience. There's reference points to resolutions and things like that, and it was, you know, trying to dive back and forth at how it applies. So with Susan's help, we were able to, you know, get all those in the last budget, but. Considering that, I just wanted to review the policies that we have for our budget and just review all that, combine it into a handbook, whether it's hardbound or electronic, and just have that as a policy handbook. And that you can just go to reference, and I would imagine that would be something you would need as well as a body that's going to be reviewing the budget. You know, you have to fully understand what budget policies are out there, and I think it would make sense to have a handbook in some concise way that you can reference.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Anything else?
So we've kind of all discussed a lot of
bullet points and items and wish lists. So do we want to circle back and kind of prioritize or talk, you know, get some input from staff?
Yeah.
Just wondering where we're headed.
Yeah,
next.
Let's go back and do that. Yeah. And just real quickly for those, some of our advisory board members that are coming in, just going to give my service announcement going on this. Thanks for everyone coming. You know, we did put a timeline on this, not that we were married hard to the 4:35, 5:36. It was just a matter of to be somewhat courteous so you didn't come here at 4 o'clock and wait the whole time. And I know some of you are waiting for the next meeting, but as we close this one, we'll go on to our Public Works Advisory Board, and we are running a little bit over into our Harbor Advisory Board, but please bear with us and we'll get through this. And then that said, we can get back into the Councilmember Johnson, your comments about prioritizing council's comments and interaction with the board, and then get some staff comment on what, you know, so far we've discussed and how you identify all that. Dave, do you want to start there?
Sure. I'd just say that the resolution forming the committee, if I recall the wording, said that the committee would establish an annual work plan. It did not necessarily state that it would be approved by the council. And this being the first time this committee has ever operated as a committee, a whole bunch of great ideas. but my sense is that we need to be measured, and let's get the basics done. I think most of those basics are included in the annual plan, work plan that they proposed. And then if there were items that were identified by council as being critical items for right now, you can identify those, or Susan and I can take those from you and work with Barbara and with the rest of the committee to help prioritize their work. For example, I appreciate the comment about the budget. The budget this year, we made some changes to it. We're looking at, for example, at OpenGov, which is a great budget presentation tool. And the council had a discussion recently on whether we should go to biennial budgeting. And what we said is, let's get through another budget year. Like we are making some improvements to what we're currently doing, especially in the area of transparency and of requirements-based budgeting. And then with the council, with this committee going forward, looking at other options of how to do budgeting, whether it's metric-based, performance-based, or biennial, and all of those things. So I guess what I would say is I sense that there is plenty of work to do right now, and if there are super high priority items that the council wants to add, then identify those and then allow the committee to go wrestle with that and send you a memo that says, here's what we think we can get done.
Okay, great. John, you have some comments?
I think most of these will fall out of your review of your work plan, to be honest with you. The risk items will fall out of your budget review. You will see them. They will show up. They will be there. When you look at the management partners plan, the opportunities will stare you in the face. And the ability to do scenario planning, I would think, is extremely important as you look at the budget, because that will give you revenue generation opportunities to look at in terms of magnitude. And so you've got this really strong tool to use that has power. So I think it fits in everything that you're doing, and I don't want to create, like I say, this other massive bit of work. But I will tell you, the guiding policies that the mayor talks about are extremely important for us in the future as a council, and there are some great ones already written, and so I say, why and reinvent the wheel when you can ask Susan where the possible or potential resources are to go to, like the League of Cities, and look at example policies that are already done and might be applicable to this city. So rather than having to do it from scratch. In summary, most everything that I think I talked about or we talked about will fall out of what you're doing. And I just tried to give it some prioritization. And the policy piece, I think, is available, in format that that would be appropriate, and if you just had an opportunity to look at that and update that based upon the information that Susan will give you or the resources that are available, you don't have to reinvent the wheel at all.
Noah?
Yeah, good points, and I do think it is very important in this first year to set your boundaries, stay focused on the budget as your first priority, and lay out the foundation for where the committee could go in the future and how you will construct your work program and so forth. So I'd prefer that. I'd rather see you err on the side of caution if you sense that you are biting off too much. Be willing to recommend that you focus in on a couple of the key priorities and know that we can build on that. And I think that's a good way to go to make sure we're successful here.
No, thanks. Appreciate the offer of help. I know when I looked at the original mission statement when the applications came out, it looked very similar to, I think, a couple other California cities or maybe Oregon or somewhere. So we'll work with Susan, get that work. I absolutely agree. No need to reinvent the wheel. We tweak it and modify it to fit our needs here. So that'll help us. Thank you.
I just want to revisit some of the comments just so I'm clear as well. So not reinventing the wheel, are we talking mostly about the budget policy? Mm-hmm. And creating the handbook wasn't a matter of creating new budget policy, but get all the policies that we have out there and put that in one place, one handbook. So use what we have and create the handbook. So whether it's an electronic file, you click on it, it has every budget policy that we can see on our website, or it's a hard copy for you. I think that's the direction. I think it's relatively simple, but at some point, like I say, if you're going to be working, as you will be working on our budget, you have to know where those budget policies are. So be able to construct all those into one handbook, I think, would be pretty simple. And as far as the management partners report and the financial policies there, granted, we have a work program there, but I would like that management partners report for budget and policies and those recommendations be used as an ongoing tool to tick off the list. We invested in that. They made some recommendations, and that should be one of the tools that we use as we go through this work plan here. So I want us to be able to continue with that. And those are my comments there. And then as far as liaison, as far as that goes, I think maybe we can discuss quickly liaison position for this this body, which we didn't do at our council meeting. Is there any compelling volunteer for this particular body, and do we want to discuss that? And I would look over to Ms. Johnson.
Can we just make nominations?
Absolutely, make a nomination.
Do we have to wait for someone to
sure
self-nominate? Oh, you know, I think that, you know, Councilmember Heading seems really passionate about it. I think Mayor Irons, you do too, but, you know, that would be, I guess I would assume that John, you would want to do this.
Sure.
So I'm comfortable with that.
And I would second that. And if we want to make a formal motion,
sure.
I would there's a motion and a yes. Second, and no necessarily discussion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? None. Motion carries. So that would congratulations. We have Mr. Heading as our liaison. Good.
Looking forward to working with you. And I hear a train out there, but
thank you.
Okay. So unless there's any further discussion, then we can go into closing remarks. Christine?
Well, thanks again for coming out tonight for an additional meeting a week after your last meeting. And just in general, thinking about the budget. Oh, actually, I lost my train of thought for a second. I think that for day-to-day, it's probably the most important thing that we have happening in the city, because, you know, every day expenses get paid and RFPs get released, and I think that making that real and just keeping in mind that we don't want it to be, you know, just a committee for, you know, I guess your expertise is digging into the details and how just remember once in a while to help us communicate to the public about the budget process in general, because I think that's any way we can shine light on how important the budget is, it'll encourage people to communicate to us directly during that, you know, input process. So other than that, oh, yeah, I'm sorry, there was something, I just didn't make a note of it. Do we, I mean, we're all here and we're doing recruitment. Is it too soon to add two members? Do you want to wait until a year from now?
As soon as possible, I would think.
Good discussion.
I just want
you know,
to throw that
at
out.
This point, we've already made, we put, you know, advertising out there. My thought would be, since we're talking about that, perhaps let the group build as, you know, build the knowledge, and perhaps maybe through their work they can, you know, find others that may be interested, and at some point we can, you know, add that recruitment out, that public mm-hmm. recruitment out there as well. Dave?
Also add that we will likely be looking at and perhaps bringing to you a recommendation that the term for this committee change from January to January to July to July, so it matches up with the budget year. So it may well be that we could come to you in June, May or June, and say, let's add those two members for the next term, July of 16 to July of 17. There was good discussion at the first meeting of maybe the terms for this committee would be better set to align with the budget year instead of having people changing out right in the middle of the budget year.
Wow, that's a great idea. Thank you. That's a great idea. So I would encourage that. And then, and last thing, I'm really looking forward to your analysis on the streets financing. I think that the community is really still very focused on the fact that even though we are spending Measure Q money on our streets, it's just not enough. So thank you for, you know, not rushing through that topic, because we have a lot to discuss. But I know that it's not just me, but many people are looking forward to some of, you know, that analysis and getting that discussion back out in front of the public. So thanks for that.
And I'll just piggyback on that comment as well. It's whether it's this board or any of our advisory boards to take the time to say we need more information. That's very important, and we all need to be able to consider that, whether it's a council or any of our other advisory boards. So appreciate that. John?
It's great to have also a very great staff person to work with who has intimate knowledge of where everything is. And so I just want to send out my appreciation to Susan and tell her, watch out, because here we come. No, but that does make our work or your work a lot easier. And when you have somebody that can find it for you, and Susan is great at getting right to it, and I appreciate that. And I personally am really looking forward to working with you as you see fit. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Noah.
I just want to say thank you for your service.
All right. Thank you all, and that'll conclude this joint
thank
session.
You.
Thank you.
And echo
then we'll
the comments on Susan. Thank
all
you.
All right. Thank you. Thanks, you all. And then as we adjourn this portion of our meeting, we'll be inviting our Public Works Advisory Board members up in just a few minutes, and then we'll get moving with that. At the beginning. Okay, looks like we're ready to go. Thank you. Welcome back, everybody. This is our special joint meeting. It's Tuesday, September 29th. We're at the Veterans Memorial Hall. And just want to welcome everyone. And a quick public announcement here. I know we set the agenda for 4:35, 5:36. Was just some sort of ability to get everybody here but not have you wait too long. So I know our Harbor Advisory Board is out there. And Thanks, everyone, for coming. And then also for public service announcement, we do have some vacancies. I think maybe Mr. Buckingham can speak to that in a minute. Wanted to welcome you all. It's great to be able to have joint meetings and have the dialogue back and forth and discussion on concerns, communication, and whatnot. As I've done with the previous two advisory boards, I just printed up a copy of the opening paragraph of our advisory board handbook, and I'll read the statement for from that. Welcome and thank you for your interest in serving on one of the city's advisory boards. By serving on one of the Morbay's advisory boards, you can help plan and guide the city's future. It is important that members of the advisory boards understand the functions and responsibilities of a board member. We hope that you find serving on the city's advisory board personally is satisfying, and in the process gain invaluable knowledge and experience. That's in our handbook. It says it all. We're grateful to have you, and it's one of those things that helps the city move forward. So with that, any opening comments? I'll look to Christine for opening comments.
No, I don't actually have specific opening comments. Okay. I can just get right into it. But I love that we expanded this board, and I think it's been a joy to have more people weigh in on the issue. So thanks, everybody. You've handled a lot of really exciting stuff lately. You're like junior council members now.
Great. John, Noah?
Since the Finance Committee came with a work plan and you didn't, I took the liberty of creating a three-page work plan for you, which I'll hand out now for you. No, actually, I didn't. Thanks so much for all that you do and the great information that you provide for us. This is also a give and take, so if you're not getting what you need from us, we'd like to hear that as well. So. And or staff or what have you. So, again, just thanks for being here and look forward to a conversation.
Noah?
Yes, thank you. I think you as a board have handled some of the hottest topics in the city lately, and you've done a really good job at that. We did have, during the water meter discussion, I think a bit of some cross it was some poor communication, I think, from perhaps the council to you in regards to the timeline, how much time you actually had to deliberate on the issue and to make sure that you had enough information to give us the recommendation that you felt was the most appropriate. So one thing I think that would be good for us just to confirm is that in those scenarios, you do have the ability to postpone a decision and make a recommendation to us requesting more time or to work to schedule a special meeting if you think that's appropriate. So I do appreciate that you are willing to expand your meeting frequency. I think that's excellent considering all the big issues that you're dealing with. And in the future as we go forward, as always, encourage you to communicate to us if there are specifics that you need or some work items that you think would be worthwhile for you. I know Stuart has one today that he was probably going to suggest. So with that, we'll get on with it.
All right. Thanks, Noah. And since you led off with the one smart meter topic, I think it is a great throughout the many different discussions, whether it's the street summit or and street financing, there'll be another discussion. But the smart meter was a topic. I attended that meeting, was able to watch you deliberate admiringly. So, I mean, you guys did a great job. Interesting, whether the level of communication from council as an observer, I think this is one good conversation point as well. In our policies and procedures and our bylaws, we talk about who the liaison is and how we communicate. And for any advisory board, your staff person is that your source for communication to council. Interestingly, as a bystander observer for that particular meeting, I had some own thoughts to share, but not necessarily appropriate for one council member to come to the mic and say, hey, this is what we should be doing. So I hope you understand that. But there was, inside, any one of us may have wanted to say that, but and Noah spoke to it really well, that, there was more information that was requested at the first meeting, at the second meeting, certainly had that ability to do it again. And if there was a sense of pressure or timeline on that, you know, I mean, you all have the ability to say, look, we either don't have enough material, we need more time, or, you know, this is the recommendation we're going to give, which this board went ahead and did as well, which was great. But certainly want to encourage you to have the dialogue with staff and staff to have the dialogue with our advisory board. You know, I think we, you know, looking back, we probably could have had the discussion of, okay, wait a minute, as a staff, maybe we can provide you with a little bit of information from my recollection of the meeting. But since we're talking about that, I mean, those are the only things, and I'll turn it over to the chair, and you guys can have your discussion, and then we can come back and, you know, if we can, you know, have our discussion.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Mayor.
And it's
not primarily on that. But,
no,
you know,
no,
yeah.
That's fine. Unfortunately, Marlis McPherson isn't here tonight, so yeah. I'm acting as the chair for the Public Works Advisory Board. And that was a good one to lead on, and I do want to address it, but I wanted to go through a few things. I've been sitting on the board now for about 5 years, and honestly, in my own mind, I'm debating, should I go on? You know, all of a sudden it'll be 9 years if I go through with the next one. However, it has been a very exciting year for this board. One of the biggest things we did was the water and sewer rate structure. The water rates hadn't gone up in 25 years. The sewer had as a result of we knew we were coming in with the water reclamation facility. But that was a very interesting thing to walk through the process in the course of a year. Another thing that came across, and some of my members weren't a part of, was the recommending approval of the bridge over Little Morrow Creek. And it's really exciting to see projects that you had involvement in, you had discussion to, you made your recommendations, and it pretty much came to form, as at least how I remember recommending it to the consultants. So it's been a very nice year in that regard of what we have going on. I will talk quickly about what Noah brought up. I did not feel City Council ever made a miscommunication per se, but I did feel there was a sense of urgency sometimes, because when I see staff bring something to our board, I usually figure it's the result of council having staff look into this, try to get it moving. And for that reason, I was probably the one that kind of pushed it along to make a recommendation for denial at the point in time, because we couldn't come to agreement on what staff brought. So I don't want to fault staff. I mean, I don't want to fault. I thought there was a little bit of the numbers on it caused a lot of confusion with the general public, because I know even myself, and I do this for a business, you know, for a living, I had some confusion with the numbers as you read through a staff report without having the background information. But I just want to go back and say, it's been a pleasure working on this board. And like I say, I'm still up in the air. I'd love to do it again, but I look at another 4 years and, you know, hey, gosh, I might be too old for this. In any such case, I'll go ahead and start down with David. Any comments on your end?
Well, anybody who's cornered me for a few minutes about PWEB have heard me say this before, and I'll say it again because I think it's worthwhile. And I know Dave's going to address this in a few moments as well, and that is, I think one of the wonderful things about our community and the size of Morrow Bay is that individuals truly can have an impact on the care and the development of our town. And I understand, being more and more involved in this, I understand how many people out there are interested and pay attention. I'm amazed at how many people watch our meetings on television over and over again. And I know these people have strong feelings and opinions and ideals and goals for our city, and I would encourage each and every one of them to, at some point, make that step forward and try to join any of these boards. And I know we have seats available and soon to be available, and Dave will address that momentarily, and I would just encourage people to make that step. It's been great the year that I have been involved, and the things I've learned, and I find that every day it's a little bit more overwhelming, and I think most of our citizens don't recognize that a town this small doesn't just happen to chug along and work. The infrastructure and the people involved are taking on amazing tasks to make sure that our town runs as well as it does and continues to do so in the future. So that's what I've learned so far, and that's what I would encourage others to get involved.
Thanks, David. Chris?
I've been serving since about February, so it hasn't been a whole lot, but I've dealt with the sewer and water rates and some intersection items as well. I look forward to some more intersection discussions or some prime ones here in town that I know we're all kind of looking at as well. But what I really appreciated was during the sewer water rate discussion, the amount of emails and outreach we had from the public. People did want to get involved. There was quite a bit of conversation or basically emails sent in our direction for review. And there was a lot of public input here at the meeting as well. So that was very appreciated. But I look forward to more projects in the future.
Thank you, Chris. Stuart?
I'll second the communications venue. And one of the things that would help me a lot, I'm a numbers guy, and if you say something, I don't take anything at face value. As some of you may know, I look it up and call their cities and call their water suppliers and find out what they're doing and so on. It would immensely help if I could get the information we're going to be dealing with in advance, at least a few days. And I know when I first joined the board, it was, oh my gosh, we're going to hear it tomorrow, or we're going to hear it in 3 days. And some of it you just can't boil down to that quick of a time frame. So I would ask that if we're going to come up with a packet of 160 pages or 250 pages and so on, that give us some time to assimilate it. And I think that emailing it to us is a great thing. I really appreciate them printing them out in full color. That's nice. One of the things I'd recommend for staff is that we number these pages. And I know we've got an old computer system in town, but Microsoft Word, you just click number pages, and it'll do it. And it'll put numbers down at the bottom. And then, like many of our people that make presentations to the PWOP board come up with, they'll say on page 22 or page 11. We don't have that. And I don't know if it's because of our old system, our old computer system, or we're just not familiar with it, but that would greatly help me in assimilating the material and so on. I'm concerned also about this Brown Act issue and the emails that fly around, please don't reply to all and so on. I'll reiterate and say it would be nice to have Stu Skiff at morrobay.gov. And I've said this before, and that would kind of get me out of having my own personal email. You know, how many times did you contact it? You see it daily in the newspaper and on TV with the Brown Act things. And that's something that I'd like to see happening. And that's about all I have right now.
Okay. Thank you, Skip. And Deb?
Thank you for having me here this evening and giving me this opportunity to give you my opinions. I have enjoyed being on this board for almost 2 years now. It has been an eye-opener and a learning experience. I kind of feel more like a custodian of my town than just a resident. I drive around and I'm more observant and I see what's going on and I pick things up and I remember things. It's more important to me now because I am directly involved. And I am a big communication person. I mean, I know everybody hates signs everywhere, a sign, but you know what? Sometimes we need signs. It's just like the lady out on the boardwalk who said, man, this person was so rude to me because I didn't have my dog on a leash. And I said, well, you're supposed to have your dog on a leash. She goes, well, there's no signs posted. And I said, well, you know, there's a thing called common sense. But anyway, I apologize for the rude person, but anyway. I will tell you that sometimes I've come to my meetings and I feel like I'm coming on the fly. I just got it. I just found time to get through it. And then I don't really have time to ask questions of my liaison person, who is Rob. I always try to email Rob or try to call Rob and go, hey, you know, are we going to really be doing, what are you looking for on this and that kind of stuff? So I don't do it often, but... I do feel like I'm always coming on the fly to these meetings, but we managed to work it out because we have a lot of great people on this board. And as far as getting back to the meters, that was a real touchy issue for me, and because I was the only holdout. And, you know, that recommendation could have gone positive with more questions to be answered as it went negative with more questions to be answered. And I think if we just would have said, you know, we're not ready, we need more time. This has to go back, staff has to do more, and then bring it back to us again, we need more time. But we did get a sense of urgency, like somebody wanted something done and we wanted a decision. And then on the same token, I felt bad about Fathom, because here these nice people came twice from Arizona to talk to us. And that second time, we should have been prepared. We should have had all of our ducks in a row and known exactly where we were headed with this. And then for them to come out here and spend all that time with us twice and not get any resolution to anything. Are you on? Are you off? Are we in? Are we out? You know, I mean, I was embarrassed to a certain degree because it's a lot of time and effort on everybody's part. And other than that, I look forward to my next 2 years.
Thank you, Deb. And Jan?
Well, I've enjoyed being on this board. I really had a very general idea of what the board dealt with when I went for the interview. I like being able to find out what's going on from the source instead of somebody told somebody told somebody. And I like being able to clarify to people I know when they say, oh, I just heard there was going to be a strip mall built on the Embarcadero. I can say, you know what, I don't think so. But anyway, I enjoy working on this, and I do read all the reports. It would be maybe nice to have them a day in advance. But for the most part, I have very positive feelings about what we've done and what we've talked about. And like Deborah, I feel drive around town now, and I feel like I own a little part of this because I've been in on some of the decisions that have been made. And I look forward to reading more and figuring out more, solving more of these issues.
Thank you, Jan. I just wanted to add one more thing at the very end of this, and that's a fact. I felt a little bit when we were going through the Fathom proposal, I was rough on staff, and I wasn't meaning to be. It was just I saw a bunch of people in the audience that were truly confused as to how the numbers came together. First of all, I want to give kudos to Dave Buckingham. I really enjoy the fact of what he's done with his not opinion piece, what do you call it, the column he has in the Bay News. It kind of keeps me apprised, and I sit on board. Well, I sit on two, the RoofCAC and this. And it really helps because it's one of the few newspapers I truly do read anymore is the Bay News. And as for Rob has always been helpful, kind, and trying to get me the information. And I know from a point of staff has, when you look at all the boards you have and you look at all the meetings you have, these guys are working almost every night. And, you know, I've worked for cities. I know how this is. And so I just want to give a kudo to them because I really do. Sometimes you get stressed trying to get stuff out. I felt that one with Fathom came a little premature. In fact, I was kind of the one that voted for denial, mainly to push it up to city council to try to make the determination as to whether they felt it was valid. I wasn't trying to dismiss it out of hand because I have no problem with the Fathom bid or proposal per se. It was just the fact nothing was adding up at the point in time. And I kind of want to be clear on that, and that was the main reason why I voted denial on it, not because of the product or what they were trying to put forward. So in either case, I'll throw it back to city council.
Thanks, Steve, and the board and comments, and give us a chance to make some comments, and then perhaps Dave and Rob to respond to some of the questions as well. I think this is what's great about having a joint meeting. I mean, we kind of aired some of those things out. I mean, obviously, the Fathom smart meter was one of the discussion points. But, Steve, thanks for putting out there that there's been other things that have been really, really good that, you know, this board and the city has been putting through. So great to identify that, and kudos out to staff for their work, because there are a lot of things. I think there have been, you know, part of this is identifying, hey, what can we do to help? And obviously I think there's some questions that will be responded to, and I'm just writing, going for my notes, longer lead time. So it's pretty clear that, you know, need a few more days lead time on staff reports. You know, that one I think Rob and Dave could probably talk to.
Could I say one thing on that? It would be nice to probably have, not even that they have to put out all the information weeks in advance, but just say, hey, this is that hit my radar screen about 2 days before we were at that meeting, that even smart meters were being considered. And so even if you're just giving a rough idea, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off, Jim.
That's okay. As we follow through on that longer lead time, we can kind of talk a little bit more, finer tune that comment. Numbers on the pages, I think even council talks about that. And my understanding is we are, we're exploring updating our process in which we build our staff reports. Maybe there can be some comments on that and different tools that will be available so we can, if it's item A1 and A2, it says item A1 and all the pages that go along with that. So I know that's if that responds to what Stu, I think you were talking about. The Brown Act issue, interesting comment. Hopefully we get some comments from staff on that. And hopefully, you know, we'll turn back to council for any more questions on base of the comments that we heard. But it's great to have the dialogue so we can hear that. You don't feel as though, hey, communication-wise, how do we handle these things? This gives us that format. And I'd open up for discussion. I'll look towards Noah to make any comments on these and then open up to Dave and Rob to respond to some of these questions as well.
Great. Thank you. And I thought you brought up some really good points to help strengthen the work that you're already doing. And one thing that I think you've done a really good job, and Rob has delivered to you, and as a former PWAB member, I think is one of the most interesting parts of the meeting, is the director's report, which gives a summary of all the information that's currently related to public works to the community and to yourselves. And you do take the time to take a look at that and individually bring out questions related to an item that you think might be important for people to hear about. I'd be open to ideas about how to perhaps make that director's report even more publicly accessible. If you thought there was a way to help package that, I think Rob's doing the work. It is a great compilation of information for the community about what's going on, and you're airing it out. But there may be ways to extend that work effort further, so better public information that way. One thing that might help address the having some advance understanding of what items are coming forward. You talk a little bit about that at the end of your meetings, but you may want to consider refining an agenda planning guide like we do at the council level. It's helpful. It's somewhat fluid. There are times where it's more of a guide, as it says, rather than a hard and fast date and time about what items you may see. I think you do that already, but might be a good thing to look at as far as maybe refining that a little more. And I'll leave it up to staff to comment about just when you receive your staff reports and how long beforehand, because I do think it's important with the complexities of the items you're visiting and others coming before you in the future. You do need time to review and to get some feedback maybe from the neighborhood that's going to be most affected and reach out to other cities, as was pointed out. So I think it would be interesting, too, to hear about city email for all advisory board members. I know our planning commission has those, and maybe something that's already in the works, but that was a good suggestion.
Thanks, Noah. John?
Took all my notes, but, you know, one of the things that I got from the very beginning was this tremendous sense of community pride that was elevated as you became involved in this board. And you know, the comments are, you know, driving around and kind of looking at things a little bit differently than you did before as a result of your position on this board and being able to discuss with members of the community or dispute things that are floating around out there that aren't necessarily true, like, my goodness, they're turning the power plant into you know, a water slide, and can you believe it? And so, you know, just those kinds of things. But having that inside knowledge and being able to share it, I think is just extremely important. And looking at your faces and just seeing the what I'm calling a joy that you have in serving, you know, and that's for me. I have joy in serving. I mean, it may not always appear that way when I have, you know, a packet this big to get through, which I identified with all the comments that you made about that. And I won't repeat everything because I think they're very, very good recommendations that Noah made in terms of agenda and what's coming in the future. Then I can go and get on the internet and read about things that I don't have yet as a staff report, but at least get an idea of what's going on with that. So I won't belabor everything that's been said other than to say, for me, just your joy transfers to me and makes me more excited about all the time that I get to spend looking at all the stuff you send us and everybody else sends us as council members, and the quality of the information that we get. I know that smart meter issue was difficult. I mean, I read that report a number of times. I talked to Dave about it in some detail and had some concerns about it, felt like you were under the gun, and not blaming staff or anybody else. And that's a tough place to be when you have to make a really important decision. And so anytime you feel that, I know our staff is very open to saying, stop. Time out. It's okay. Council will back you. Let's just, you know, slow things down, and because we want to make the right decision with the best information that we have. So thank you so much for your service, and thank you for the joy you've expressed that you received too.
Thanks, John. Christine?
Well, I definitely will echo all that's been said. So at the risk of getting through some other things, I won't repeat every single thing they said because I would agree with it. I would like to make two fresh comments. I think the director's report is a really interesting concept to pull out of the reports you're getting all the time. And I know that the Harbor Advisory Board also, Mr. Eric Endersby also does a really good director's report. And I'm just wondering, you know, just a comment for staff really, that it's another way that work's already been done, that if we do a sidebar on the website, you know, somewhere where people can click on those, it's a great quick update on what's happening in the areas that people touch the most. And that's what you're, I think, I'm glad that you also go to the grocery store and get slowed down by people asking you questions. But I think the reason you do is that this is literally what people touch and see, you know, day to day. Everybody gets their water bill, everybody gets their sewer bill, everybody drives on the, or walks or bikes on the streets. So what you're dealing with are things people really touch that makes it very visceral for them. So I won't speak to you in the grocery store anymore now except to wave, knowing that someone else has probably just waylaid you. But it is a great way to feel part of the community. And I do want to publicly, I said this at the council meeting last week, but I want to publicly say thank you all. I sent you an email very quickly before our meeting to get your feedback, and every single one of you responded in my time frame, including two people who said they were on vacation. So I thought that was incredible, and I'm sure that you are receiving and responding to input from the general public at least as well as that, and I think we're really fortunate, all of us, to have you serve. So I wanted to mention the director's report sidebar, and the other one was I was in an interchange I had with Mr. Skiff. You mentioned maybe a conversation about a public works commission versus advisory board, and I'm just throwing that out, and I'll let you run with it the next time the conversation comes back on your end. Okay? Thanks.
Great. Thanks, Christine. And perhaps we can get some response from staff on some of the questions that we have out there.
Sure. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. So in the interest of time, I'll take this and try to do it quickly and cover Rob's comments also. So first, the easy ones. We will look, and I think we should be able to do city emails for all of our boards and commissions. That should be easy. I don't know why we can't do that easily, and that makes all the sense in the world. Our IT infrastructure is horrid, but I am absolutely sure we can put page numbers on documents. It's not that bad. So we will fix that too. Okay, on reports, so Rob's goal has been to have staff packets out on Monday evenings for the Thursday evening PWEB. Admittedly, we haven't always met that goal, but that's what we try to do. We have recently moved it up a day for council. It used to be Thursday was packet day. Now it's Wednesdays, and we're committed to that. We're going to do the same thing for PWEB and try to get the reports out or the staff reports out on a Friday for the meeting the following Thursday. We'll work that. We will try to achieve 100% success, and we'll identify a metric for what we will accept the passing grade for with your help. But I'm not trying to wishy-wash too much, but some of that stuff does tend to come sort of at the last minute. The other thing we can do easily is give you about a two-week heads up on here's the six items that will be coming. Not a staff report, but a sentence or two on each. What will probably happen is you'll get that. Five of them will actually come. One won't be ready, and a new burning one will get added. But at least you'll have four. You'll know a couple weeks ahead of time what four of the six items are going to be or something like that. So we can do that. Would you like me to give the PSA on vacancies in the boards?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I'll try to do this quickly, too. So normally our boards, and this is for everybody in the room, normally our boards and commissions roll over at the end of January. So your terms go through the end of January. Our normal process is that we use the month of January for recruitment and for interviews and appointments, and that all happens in sometimes late December, but normally in January. Because we have a number of vacancies of empty seats right now on a few boards, on several boards there's vacancies, and on one board in particular it's acute. There's only four members of the TBID board right now out of seven members. So if they have one member that doesn't come to a, can't make it to a meeting, they don't even have a quorum. They can't have a meeting. So because there's a number of vacancies, and in order to gain some efficiency, save some money, we're going to do all of our recruiting starting now. So we actually just hit the website in the last day or two. We've opened the recruiting period for all of the current vacancies, let's call them empty seats, and for those whose term is ending, such as Steve. I think your term ends in January, so we'll use Steve as an example. So we've started the recruitment for all of those now, and for folks that are appointed by the council in early November to an empty seat, that appointee will take that seat immediately. And for, let's say, Steve should choose not to serve for four more years, we hope he does. Actually, let's use you as an example for two things. One, for anybody whose term is ending, Dana and Brooke will reach out to you and say, hey, the recruitment process is open, and here's the application, and we hope you reapply.
They already have.
Oh, perfect. Oh, good. Okay. And should you choose not to, the council will appoint somebody in early November to your seat, but you'll stay in that seat until the end of January. And then, so we're going to do all of the recruiting, both for current vacancies and for possible future vacancies, all at one time starting this week. And the council, I think, is going to look at that the 10th of November, have interviews. Maybe the 17th.
Let me just add one little correction or clarification. So because we increased the frequency of PWAB meetings, both Parks and Recreation and PWAB were on the third Thursday, so one of us had to go, and I lost the Rochambeau to Sam. So PWAB will be moving back to their historic date and time, which will be 5:30 on Wednesday afternoons. 5:30 on Wednesday.
The third Wednesday.
Yes. So we're back to where we were, I don't know, 3 or 4 years ago.
Yes. It started at Wednesday and changed somewhere along the way. Is it going to be here at the Vets Hall?
Still here at the Vets Hall, yes.
Which means we will absolutely achieve Friday for staff packets, because getting it Monday for Wednesday is just too quick.
Great. Thanks, Rob and Dave. And we'll bring it back to council. And I think... Christine, you had a question for Mr. Skiff on some of those, so maybe we turn it back to the PWAB board, and Mr. Skiff can present your question.
Mr. Mayor, I've already presented most of them, and I look forward to the new website and the indexing on the website so I can really truly look something up in past history there. And the example is the County of San Luis Obispo, and you can get in, search in there, and you can find virtually anything that's related. And I know that's a huge job, because some of the documents have got the names wrong in the documents. They've got, instead of the date, they've got somebody's name first and so on. So there's some work in there, but understand that would really help us
with research is what happened before, or how did they vote before, what's going on with that. So I look forward to the website being up and going. And I think also that if we had some information about how we make decisions on road maintenance, for example, you know, I get a lot of flack on that because I pass my cards out to everybody. and I say, well, but the reason why we dug it up is because the street was failing, and it was failing 3 or 4 feet deep. And if we didn't do that, it was going to be a continual issue, and we wouldn't be able to get the fire trucks out or get the ambulance out, for example, which is close to us, and so on. So that type of information needs to be on there and easily defined. And that's about what I have right now. Thank you, Mr.
Okay. Great. Thanks. Noah?
I'll just closing comment. Okay.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I think it applies to all the advisory boards, but one thing that I really appreciate about what you guys are able to do is so often at council meetings we have a number of really high-profile items that we need to get through over the course of the night, and we do everything we can. We've added public comment and input opportunity, but one thing that your advisory board does as well as the others is give a more relaxed, more accessible public review and discussion forum, and you do tend to try to follow a loose interpretation of Robert's Rules of Order, but I think that's perfectly good, and that the fact that you have you more frequently within your discretion encourage more comment and participation. That you are doing a great service for us because you're letting people get those comments out there, you're synthesizing them and coming up with a recommendation to us, and we can watch those meetings, hear those comments, and many times it helps us focus more on the real key points of the issue rather than trying to start at square one, holding the big box. You kind of are boiling it down for us to focus more. So that's a big service because we do have late council meetings, as many people know. So you're helping us reduce that.
Thanks, Noah. John?
Just to close with a great big thank you for your service to the community and keep doing it. And Mr. Buckingham, you may have 6 compliance officers here part-time. So FYI, thank you.
Thanks, John. And Christine, you're good. I think we all echo the thanks. And a great opportunity to have this dialogue back and forth. I think there are some opportunities that we're setting the path for through your comments, and that's a great result. So thanks for all that. And with that, okay. So we'll adjourn this portion.
May I make one last comment? Yep. I'd like to thank the board. They're a pleasure to work with. And just to let you know, we're probably changing the format of the director's report a little bit. That tabular format isn't the easiest to work with and to read. So it'll probably look more like a staff report in the future rather than – that way we can embed graphics and pictures in it rather than having a little cell to fill in. Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you all. That'll conclude this portion of our joint meeting. Thanks very much. And we'll invite our Harbor Advisory Board up to the – to join us. Welcome. Okay, we're ready to go.
Like, I don't know who those people were back
then. We've got the thumbs up from AGP. Here we go. All right, welcome back to our viewing audience. We are at our special joint meeting. It's Tuesday, September 29th. We've had 4 advisory boards. This is our 4th advisory board, the Harbor Advisory Board members. Thank you for waiting as long as you did. Sorry for the delay. We did our best to time this out to where you didn't have quite that much time to wait, but thanks for bearing with us. Welcome. It's a great opportunity. I'm not sure we've had a joint meeting as a board, at least since I've been on council. So since you were viewing the Public Works Advisory Board joint meeting. You got to see a great example of the dialogue we had there. It's a great opportunity to have feedback. I know as a former liaison, you know, I think to have that kind of communication through one council member, the appropriateness of that, not necessarily the best, but I'll open it up for comments, and then we can get into our dialogue and discussion. With that, opening comments, Christine.
Sure. Welcome, and thanks for staying with us this evening. Unlike, I think, the comment that I made with the Public Works Advisory Board, I think what you do in the Harbor Advisory Board is work with details that a lot of people don't know about Morro Bay, because not everyone who lives, I mean, 10,200 people, not everyone has a boat. If they did, we'd probably have that boatyard by now, right? But at any rate, not everyone has a boat. Not everyone goes to the water very often. Certainly, a lot of people don't make their living there. So the issues you deal with are enlightening for folks, because it reminds people as they perhaps, you know, drive to San Luis and back every day to work. And, you know, by the time they leave and the time they come back, the only time they see the bay is perhaps on the weekends. So I think the issues you deal with help everyone in our community remember that there's this whole enormous function that goes on that's really unique to cities. In our county, there isn't another city that has the level of responsibility that we have. And other cities have fire, and so do we, and police, and other things like that. But to have the harbor, it's a whole other risk, actually, for the city to carry. Lots of things can happen there. It's a whole other set of leases and negotiations, and it's just it's a very complex situation. You've got a lot of competing interests. Excuse me, you have a lot of regulation. You've got the Coastal Commission, development, you've got developers. So a lot happens there. So I appreciate that you're willing to take those tasks on. And again, just by the fact that you're an advisory board and that you're on AGP and it gets played over and over, it just helps people remember that this is another diverse part of our town, but that does deserve our attention and our focus. So I think you've done a great job at that. Thank you.
Thanks, Christine. John?
Welcome. As your new liaison, as of several days ago, to be at least on an interim basis part of you, looking forward to learning being with you. And one of the things that I wanted to add is as I look around at some of the other committees, they're all complex, and Christine alluded to it, but yours has a significant degree of complexity that I think is being helped significantly by staff. And I'm going to up front recognize staff and the information that you get from staff, because that's critical or key to the decision-making process that you go through. I appreciate specifically, and I tend to lean towards this a lot, I know, the financial analysis and look that you do. I compliment Ron for a lot of subcommittee activity there, but a number of you that have been involved with evaluating reports that are financial in nature and looking at cost data and fee data and making recommendations based upon that. Other than our finance committee, certainly you have a significant piece of that. And then I guess last for me, I think this board probably is the board that has the greatest opportunity to make change and growth in our community. I think we are so unique as a community because we have this harbor here, and there are so many things that we can do to improve our overall financial status and the functionality and beauty of our city and ability to appreciate that beauty. This is the group that has, in my mind, a lot of influence on that. And so kudos to you for your work, your commitment, your time. Look forward to working with you, available to you as you see fit, according to the rules and regulations of the Brown Act. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Noah?
Yes, thank you. And so I do also want to commend you on some great subcommittee work recently. Looking forward to us continuing the progress on the marine facility. And I know there's been ongoing discussions and effort on that, and so the recommendations that you can bring forward to us are really going to, as they did in the first phase, form our next steps and plan forward on that. I think you probably all are aware that there will be some discussion of wind energy sometime in the future, and I would expect that your board will be one of the key visitation points to any sort of evaluation of a proposal there. Then the third item that I think you all have on your radar, it was raised at one of your meetings, but that I'm particularly looking forward to a discussion about is eelgrass and the future of how we can still grow and manage a working harbor and respect eelgrass as a foundational need and habitat to the biology of the bay. So I think there are some good opportunities in that. I noticed most of you were at the National Estuary Program's meeting that focused on eelgrass, and I'm actually hoping that you will have a focused conversation and come up with some key recommendations to us that we can help facilitate and move forward on.
Great, Noah. And take the opportunity now to turn it over to the board. And, you know, I think it's up to you on how you want to do this, and maybe another opportunity to, you know, give the council an update on some of the work, subcommittees, a little bit of report on that as well. So I'll turn it over to you.
Bill? Okay. Thank you very much. My name is Bill LaFay. I'm the chair of the Harbor Advisory Board. And, you know, we have formed three subcommittees over the last, 3 years. The first one is the Marine Facilities Ad Hoc Committee, which is moving forward. It's still moving forward. And we have initiated a contract with RRM, according to Eric, to do that initial study. We also did an extensive risk management study on insurance, which we kind of came to the conclusion the risk-reward of trying to insure all vessels within the harbor, which was quite interesting, and we left it and tabled it, but we did do a tremendous study on that. Lynn was the chair on that. And the third committee that we have, and these are all standing committees still, is the Harbor Finance Committee. As a matter of fact, Ron and myself met with Susan Slayton regarding the cost allocation, which was done in 2010, updated. We, as Harbor Board members, was a little bit, we just didn't understand it. So we wanted to understand it a little bit more of how this cost allocation, and especially in light with some of the changes that are going on, how is that going to be updated and then impact the harbor? Because it does impact the harbor budget, you know, in the tune of $280,000. So we have delved into some financial and some infrastructure things at the harbor in some depth through subcommittees to try to help the city and try to move certain things forward. Frankly, we don't have a capital improvement budget in the harbor, and the harbor is falling apart. It really is. And now we're trying to look at that, allocate that, and have 5, 10, and 25-year plans so that somehow or other, at least we're aware, even if we don't have the money, we're aware that we have these risks and these issues that could come up. And Eric has done a great job in some of his capital improvements, and I believe you've seen those reports. I mean, one of the things that we have to replace is the beech tree slips real, you know, fairly quickly. And if we don't, they're just going to deteriorate more and more. Now, again, as I've talked to Noah, with this eelgrass, that's another issue that is really a major issue with any infrastructure that's going on the waterfront and how we're going to deal with that. So there is a lot of things that are going on. We don't deal with the leases, which is, you know, something that I've always really kind of wanted to look at a little bit more. But I guess in 1982 it was decided that the Harbor Advisory Board really shouldn't be looking at the leases. So that's just something for discussion, too, that, you know, maybe we might want to take a look at that. Now, I know there's only 30. Once the leases are signed, they're usually 50 years, and so it's pretty much a done deal. But, you know, there are some things that I think need to be looked at. I mean, one good pertinent example is the Inetmore Bay. You know, that bulkhead thing is going into the bay right now. And if we as a city do not do something about it soon, we could have a liability on our hands. Trust me. If that whole parking lot fell in, I mean, I'd go by there kayaking, and I'd look at that. And I'm just sharing these thoughts that as you go down the waterfront and you look at some of these leases, there's some issues. And the city, and especially you folks, need to at least be aware of it. If we can't do anything about it, that's fine, but we should at least highlight it that we've talked about it. You know, a good example that I thought of is this unfortunate death that happened in our harbor recently. You know, what's the liability to the city? And that's one of the reasons why we looked at the insurance. God forbid if, you know, the city got sued. You know, of course, when anyone sues anyone, they're going to go after the person with the, you know, large pockets. So we just need to make sure, and we have, that we're covered. And Lynn did a great job in looking and making sure. And so I hope that that boat was covered and that we don't have any liability. So, you know, I'm very pleased to be on the harbor. It's a wonderful opportunity to, I think, shape a little bit at the harbor. And it is a working waterfront until we as a city decide that it's, you know, going to be something different, and we need to try to maintain it. Maintain that charm, you know, the special feeling that the harbor is and will be. So I'd like to ask my board members, who I've really enjoyed working with, to make some comments, but I think I have a pretty good relationship with most of the city councilmen, and if I have a problem, I can send an email to them. So I thank you very much for allowing us the opportunity to help you. Gene?
Good evening, Council. I'm really proud to be on the Harbor Advisory Board. I really love our bay. I've been serving on the Harbor Advisory Board for, gosh, I really don't know, the mid-80s. I like to think that I bring some historical and practical practicality to our board. I think we've got a really good makeup of our board. We've got some members that have technical analysis and observations. We've got some hands-on experience. I think we've got a really good board. And I think that this council is very fortunate and unique opportunity to address some of the issues that concern our bay. There's no other city that has a wonderful bay like this. We're just it, you know. And I'm glad that our council supports our hardworking fishermen and the working waterfront. And any questions, I'm always happy to kick you out in the bay and show you. So, okay.
Thanks, Gene. Ron?
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity. Here are some things, not all by far, but here are some things that I think work well for this body. By that I mean the Harbor Advisory Board body. The Harbor Advisory Board chairman, with the input of the Harbor Director, very effectively controls the Harbor Advisory Board's agenda. I don't see that all of the advisory boards in the city operate that way. This one does, and I think it does so effectively. It self-manages, if you will, in that sense. This board has the advantage of a harbor director and his staff who do an excellent job in assembling information in a informative and timely manner, always timely, almost always timely. Insofar as the Harbor Advisory Board meeting agenda items, and certainly the director's report is consistently well developed. I also appreciate that the Harbor Department makes itself available virtually without restriction, unless there's something more, much more important than we are, going on, which, you know, sometimes happens in terms of public safety, makes itself available to the board, to any member of the board, any group from the board, and I mean makes itself available in a substantive way. And that's a treat. I also found during my time on the board that it is a well-seasoned body. By that I mean that, as I suggested earlier, it effectively self-manages itself in focusing on what it perceives to be important issues for the city and for the harbor, and doesn't hesitate to formulate working committees to address those issues. And it does so on its own volition. There are a couple of other things that I'd like a clarification on, just as one board member. The mayor made reference earlier with another body to the advisory board handbook. And the advisory board handbook says in the fourth paragraph that advisory boards advise the city council and the city manager on matters in their area of interest and responsibility and interest. And as the council knows well, each of the advisory boards has bylaws. And the Harbor Advisory Board's bylaws and its purpose and authority say the Harbor Advisory Board is established to review, advise, and recommend to the city council on items pertaining to the city harbor. So however a council wants to do it is absolutely okay with me, but I find myself from time to time a little bit confused about the chain of command or the chain of communications. And I'd like a clarification on that from the council. That would be helpful to me just to organize my thinking, that's all. And finally, given that the Morro Bay Harbor and its enterprise zone are essential movers in the city's economic engine, from time to time I feel that the Harbor Advisory Board is an underutilized resource to the council. Although I'd be quick to acknowledge that maybe that's because, and I'm not being facetious, that the harbor in that enterprise zone is very effectively managed by your harbor department. But I would encourage, during my time on the board, I have only on a couple of occasions seen the council, through the harbor director, however you choose to do it, direct the Harbor Advisory Board to something or at something, to work on something. And if you have other things, it'd be great to know. Thanks. And I enjoy my time. And I enjoy the folks on the board. And I agree with Gene. It's a good working body.
Dana?
Thank you. I just want to thank the council for putting this together and staff. I think this is first time we've done this, and it's about time. we've been on and off with liaisons since I've been on the Harbor Advisory Board, and this is a good way for us to talk about our issues. If you haven't gone to or watched any of our meetings, but Christine brought up some of the uniqueness of the harbor and why we have a harbor advisory board, why we have a harbor department, and such. And one of those uniquenesses, this is a point of interest for our tourism beyond whether you get in your car and drive to San Luis to go to work every day and don't really use the harbor like most of us do here on our board. It's the driving force. I mean, if there wasn't a harbor and a beach right here, who would come here? Maybe some people would come here, but not too many. Maybe. And I think that uniqueness of this harbor is everything for this city. I mean, it's half our name, but it's very important. And I enjoy being on this Harbor Advisory Board. I think it is very important. And I have seen, since I've been on here, an increase in our input and our workload and somewhat. And I'm happy to have a new liaison. Look forward to working with you, John, and having you at our meetings. I also kind of saw the council, city manager, both in the bylaws and then in the harbor advisory bylaws. There was an omission of city manager in that part. That kind of brings up a little bit of a concern with me. One of my big desires is the marine facility, and over the last 3.5 years, I worked on the first ad hoc committee, started that, and we spent a lot of time, history, figuring out what went right, what went wrong, where we are today, and is due to that research. And and then I've seen great support from our council and mayor over that at different times, different meetings that have been held regarding this issue. And yet then there have been some different communications coming from some of our chief administrators that is not the same. So that is a concern of mine. I'm really happy to see the Maritime Museum jump forward. I'm really happy to see that exuberance. I know they've been waiting a long time. I work with them quite a bit. And, we would like to see nothing more than to be side by side, both the Maritime Museum and the Marine Facility. So I would say that, yes, we do have a lot of issues in the harbor, and I hope that I can help work with my colleagues here and with the city council and improve along with that. I guess that's all I have right now. Thank you.
Thanks, Dana. Lynn?
Yes. Thank you very much for allowing me to serve on the Harbor Advisory Board. I spend all of my days on the water, as most of all of my nights. Most of my time is spent on the water. I'm a liveaboard on the bay, so I have an intimate relationship with it. But I would like to comment once that I think the relationship and the attention that the city council is giving to the opinions and the discussions of the Harbor Advisory Board on various topics has improved greatly over the last, I think I've been on the board now 12 years. Having the liaison, I think, has been a big help. But in general, we have also had questions that have been sent to us from the council via Eric. And I feel that this is something that was not done 10 years ago. So there have been a lot of improvements. I look forward to even better relationship and more discussion with the city council. But I thank you for your support.
You know, I wanted to make one comment, regarding the Marine Sanctuary proposal, too. I think that, to be honest with you, was pressed forward a little bit quickly. And when we had our public forum, we made our recommendation based on the knowledge that we had right there in our room. And maybe we shouldn't have had that meeting, only because we didn't have a lot of public. We didn't have the participants that were there to ask any questions or really get any some depth, so that when it was presented to you with our recommendation, it was really tabled, from what I understand, only because there still was a lot of questions and a lot of information that needed to get done. So now we have to start all over again with another form. So I think that sometimes we need to, if we're going to do something, we need to do it right. And I think in this case, the Marine Sanctuary form probably should have been done a little bit differently. That's all. I mean, and again, I think that I'm glad that you came to us, because I think that we all have the knowledge, but at least from what I understand, what happened at the City Council, you didn't feel that there was enough information for you to render a decision. So therefore, we didn't do our job, apparently. So in that respect, I am very, very pleased to work with the council, and I think that we can provide the Harbor Department, and we talk about the Harbor Department. You know, the Harbor Department, their infrastructure that they have, too. I mean, and I will say, I mean, the building is dilapidated. I mean, it really is. I mean, I'm going to go on public record. I'm not going to try to complain. And one of the reasons that I started with some help from some other members here, 501(c), which is the Friends of the Morro Bay Harbor Department, to try to raise some funds to supplement various services and needs for the Harbor Department. I saw that the fire, I saw that the police had it. Now, we're in our infancy because we lack the volunteers. But we are doing an incredible event November 13th. We are doing a drive-in movie at The Rock. It's already signed, sealed, and delivered. We just got to figure out what the movie is. And we will have that on Saturday. Becca is at a training class right now. But we're doing a drive-in movie at The Rock. We already got the people that's going to run it. And it's going to be an interesting event. But as I say, this is a fundraiser to get some visibility, to get some visibility for the Harbor Department. The Harbor Department is a valuable, vital resource that has stayed hidden for a long time. When I read the reports in the newspapers, I don't see any mention of the Harbor Department. Montana de Oro, we were the first responders to the Harbor Department, but it stated the Coast Guard, the Fire Department, the Police Department, didn't say the Harbor Department. And I've asked Eric that a little bit, and, we don't have a communications director. We don't have, someone that's touting our horn. And so that's the other reason why I put together the 501(c), to give some visibility and some vocalness to the Harbor Department, to make everyone aware that we are a vital resource in Morro Bay, and we need to continue to to have that. That's all I have to say.
Thanks, Bill, and thanks to the board for all the comments. Long overdue, Dana, is your comments, and it shouldn't be that long overdue. Take all the comments to heart. The value of the Harbor Board and the harbor itself, pretty important. I think we should make this an annual thing, at a minimum. To our bylaws that we talk about, there are parts in there as far as reporting, quarterly reports to council, which, may or may not be helpful, consider, the board's view. I would say as liaison, I wasn't an active participant as far as attending meetings. That's just a time management thing. As far as staying in touch, that's different. I think John may have a different style on communicating through the chair that he's expressed, and I think that's a good one. With all the comments, I got out our city goals that we have, and the first round of goals that we went through almost 3 years ago now was the marine facility for infrastructure. And so that's a good thing. We're diving into that. And as we talk about the importance of the harbor, when I look at our goals, based on some of the comments from the board, I'm thinking to myself, we should have more of that. And, during the budget process, we'll send out those emails, hey, We're going through our budget process. We need your input. During goal setting, we're going through goal setting. Whether or not we're affirming the goals, we need your input. And whether or not that's not being an agendized item for discussion, maybe not. Maybe it's just via email. But I think that warrants further discussion amongst the board on how this is, because obviously there's a few items here that are, I think, are important. One of the ones, the Harbor Finance Committee, I think that was the capital. It started out as the capital.
Correct.
Yeah. And I was at that meeting when that took place, and which is great. What was interesting from a communication standpoint, it wasn't an agendized item. It was just at the end of the meeting, hey, let's do a finance capital improvement committee. And, to follow that, to carry that to the next step, communicating that, and part of that was, my role as far as liaison and doing that outreach as well, is having that outreach to, so council does support that. Where do we need to go on that? And I think, there's a lot of things that have been, discussed about whether or not from a Harbor Advisory Board, we're kind of managing ourselves on what we think are important. And is that a good thing or a bad thing? Well, based on this discussion, I would say that this format in of itself is probably good. We should be identifying, these things and maybe raising the level of priorities, because that's what, Eric and Dave need to do. And part of those priorities are on our goals. And it's not that we're, as a city ignoring the harbor, but I think we need to raise the awareness on how we're prioritizing on our city goals. So I want to tout that a little bit. Hopefully that's not being adversarial, but I do. We've done, great job this year and organizing our goals and the objectives within those and really marrying the budget to achieve those goals and setting the priorities. So, and the marine facility is one of those, but I would say from that standpoint, there's probably more discussion from council. I could probably visit some more, but, I'll leave it with that and then maybe get some more discussion on that. But this is great, great discussion. And I'll,
John.
There we go. John, you want to start us off? Yeah. Yeah, John, you're as the liaison. Please, please, please.
It's Christine.
I keep track.
Next one. I'd be happy to. And I'm not going to go line by line, but I'm going to try to capture what I think is the essence of what I heard and give him my feedback. Something that resonated to me is we're an underutilized resource. And having not been your liaison and having primarily watched on television, not all, but a number of your meetings, I absolutely agree with that statement. Because I think there is a skill set that transverses a significant amount of abilities that can contribute to some pretty in-depth analysis. Now, the real question is, if you're an underutilized resource, why is that? It's either that you're not being asked as a resource to comment on something that may be important, and or two, the resources are being dealt in another venue, primarily, or three, you are so tied up with just one or two big initiatives that you don't have time to be used for other resources that need to be evaluated, or other issues that need to be evaluated. And so when I think about that, I think about and I'll just use as an example the recent marine sanctuary. And no disrespect, Bill commented on it, and he was very open and very straightforward, and I appreciated that. I watched that meeting. You had very limited input. you didn't get the turnout that I would consider to be viable to really hear a lot of the inputs of the community, individuals, etc. But there also is a depth of information and a dearth of information as I began to dig into that and trying to understand NOAA, not NOAA, but N-O-A-A, and read those proposals, and then also doing due diligence with existing sanctuaries, individuals that are involved with those, to get away from what I will call anecdotes versus facts. And there is a preponderance or a prevalence of anecdotes that get expressed during public comment. And that's great. Those are usually based upon emotion and lack, many times, not always, substantiation in fact. And my job is, as much as possible, I feel, is to dig deeply to get down to the truth of the matter. Example, the fishing industry has been damaged dramatically in Sanctuary A as a result of its implementation. What does that mean? I hear that. I believe that. But I have to go and dig and find economically what has been disadvantageous and how did that occur and what was the problem. And how does that translate to the current issue that we're dealing with? That's item one. And then item two would be, I hear that economically it has brought significant economic benefit to the community. I'll use Monterey as an example, that enacted it. And so I look at that and I try to get details about that and facts and balance those and say, okay, what's best for Morro Bay with regard to that? That takes a lot of time and a lot of effort and speaking to a lot of people. And when we debated as a council and took input, and we did have a large crowd and a lot of input, for me, even after going through a lot of interaction and reading and trying to find the answer to questions I'd heard prior, stuff that came up at your meeting, et cetera, I still didn't have a good handle, and I felt good information to make a decision. Therefore, I could do nothing but say, I will not offer an unqualified decision based upon unsubstantiated information. That would be remiss. I would be remiss as a council member not doing my fiduciary responsibility and best to give an opinion based upon that. And the other thing I think is timing is of the essence. When you look at the timeline for an issue like that, and I'm sorry to spend so much time on this one issue, but I think it's important and a good microcosm of everything that we could talk about. When you spend time on this and realize that your drop-dead date supposedly is October 5th, I'm flabbergasted. And you must have been too. And I have to ask why. And I don't know, and I'm going to find out, but that almost makes it an impossibility to do good community outreach, to do due diligence, to vet it properly, to get to the truth versus anecdotes and those that speak the loudest and yell the loudest and have the greatest number of folks in the audience. That doesn't mean a lot to me. What is meaningful to me is what's real, what's factual, what I can find is that is the truth. And then I hear that there are significant issues with the sponsor of the sanctuary, and I'm digging deeply into that, and I find significant information that, and I'm not here, oh gosh, I'm debating with myself about the sanctuary. So you see where I'm going, and I'll stop there. That is something that, in order for you to vet properly, I don't know how you could have done it in one meeting. We couldn't. I couldn't. I felt the only way that I'll just speak for myself that I could end up was to, unless I had a revelation that came in public testimony, was to give an opinion that was, one that was neutral because I didn't have all the facts and wanted to get all those facts. And so if that's being repeated over and over again, then, as your liaison, I want to find out why, want to help you, want to figure out how we get to the answers with those things and do the best that we can to give you the right information to make the decisions at your level so that when we get it, we don't have to do it again. We don't have to repeat it. And so with that, you're passionate. I appreciate the passion, the leadership, the tenure, the varying degrees of abilities on this commission. And to me, I agree, it's one of the, somebody said, it's one of the places that has the most potential for this city in terms of increasing our economic benefit. I'll even classify it further as further economic diversification. So with that, I will stop. Mr. Mayor, sorry for going on for such a long time.
Thanks, John, for starting us off. Noah?
Yes, thank you. And I'll pick up on the sanctuary conversation because I also was frustrated with how much time you had to debate on it, and then same to the council, and it was awkward and not very effective. Back in November of 2014, we did call for a presentation, an informational presentation from the advocates to the sanctuary to try to get them in the room to at least represent themselves, which you guys didn't have the luxury or even that, I won't call it a luxury, it was a basic component to your deliberation. That not being there is a major information gap and weakened our discussion and the community forum that we were trying to have it in. We're working backwards now, and part of the effort will be to try to bring Noah to the room and have a more comprehensive informational session to help us all understand perhaps the way forward. One thing that we did seem to agree with from the council was we need to be at the table at this, regardless of what direction it goes, because there are the implications to our harbor, to the environment, to our fishing industry and so forth are strong. And there's a certain component to this that, yes, it will have a big effect on us, but the decision's not potentially going to be made here. It could be made at the federal level, and it won't do us any good to have our heads in the sand on this. So I think part of our move at the council meeting was to try to take this head on and have some direct correspondence with Noah and the advocates as well as those that are opposed and try to boil it down and get more to the facts of the matter and how something could be structured that may work or at least that we can have better grasp on and comments too. So I'm looking forward to that. I think it's going to be refreshing to be able to sit down and talk about it in the way that we started to during the whole seismic testing discussion, where we did sit in the room and we had representatives from the different sanctuaries show up, fishermen from the different sanctuaries there, to be able to ask questions to directly. And I think that's going to be the key to getting to the bottom of that. Another one that was kind of an awkward forum that you guys got pinned with and then kind of blanketed over on the rest of us was the State Park Marina. Hosting the state park to be here, and a lot of people interpreted that as we're in the driver's seat, we're making the decision. And I'm still getting emails from members of the community asking us to renew the lease with the cafe, and we've had to do a lot of work trying to communicate backwards on that. And I think it's important for you to know that we did follow up on your recommendation, and what was clearly the community's hope was that we're pressing the state parks to at least consider granting us the lease control so that not only are we managing the maintenance and operations side, but also the cafe and trying to tie it into overall funding for the marina itself. You may want to have that as an item to be periodically updated about. I know Director Endersby has sent a letter to the state. So far, I'm not sure what the most recent response has been, but it was not that I didn't pick up on any clear communication back from the state with our initial outreach. So I'm hoping that we could look at strategies to get their attention and to be more serious about that discussion. So they don't end up making a decision and then try to pin it on us and say, oh, we didn't even realize you guys were serious. I think from reading the letter that the city did send, there's no way that they could not interpret it that we are interested, but we may need to be a little louder in that, and I'd be interested to hear your recommendations on that side. I thought, Mr. Lefay, the bulkhead at the end at Morro Bay, that I think that's on our staff's radar. That may be something to start to strategize about, noting the new management at the inn and you know, the potential value that could be provided to the marina as well as them, and that is the connection with tourism there. Be interesting to hear maybe some strategies, way forward on that one as well. And then just the last one is kind of more universal, but I think it might help here. We have talked in the past, and I know it's a time constraint, but I think it might be valuable to have an advisory board member, probably most likely the chair, but any of them would work, that they decided on, to periodically come to a council meeting and just give us an update on some of the key things they've worked on and they are considering coming forward in the future. And it'd be as much for us as a council as for the community to hear. And a way to kind of forecast, project some of the things that you will be talking about, almost an advertisement to the community. Hey, this is coming before us here next month, and our meeting date in time is this. And help just tie the loop and keep us as connected as possible as we go forward.
Thanks, Noah. Christine?
Great. You know, that was actually on my list, and I'm going to just segue very quickly to staff. That was on my list, and I forgot to bring it up. So, no, I'm really glad you brought it up, the idea of coming forward, because I think that, I don't know, I think maybe, Jamie, you mentioned it, that it says quarterly reports. In, does it say that officially in some of the bylaws and some of the don't?
It's yeah, it's in there somewhere.
Well, at any rate, I think it is a great idea. And honestly, I wouldn't mind people choosing who wants to go, and you know, I think staff could decide, you know, to rotate it so that all the boards get to come forward at some point. And we do a business spot every single council meeting right at the beginning, and you know, we wouldn't make you stay until, you know, after everyone speaks, you know, if you, because I think that deters people from wanting to come. But if you know you're going to be right after the business spot and it's going to be planned in advance, and then, you know, you can all volunteer who wants to come and who can make it. Doesn't have to be always the chair, but I think that would be great. I'm glad we were mentioning it at least now tonight. All right, just to touch on a few things, you know, a bunch of what's been said about the sanctuary discussion. You know, the one thing the sanctuary discussion reminded me of, sadly, was the aquarium discussion. Not all of you were on the board at the time when the aquarium came to you first and then came to us, but it felt very similar because it was so emotional. So I think when I think about, in hindsight, reflect on what happened with the sanctuary, you know, I realized we're dealing with two decades of a highly emotional issue. And in two decades, there have been people want for it and against it. And, you know, I realized, well, I was really not exactly prepared because I've been on the council 2 years and I had never seen the issue in front of me. And I don't know if everyone really understood that, but it's not just this council, but even the council before, we had never discussed the issue. It had never even come forward as a presentation. So it was completely cold for many of us. And that's a challenge when you get those highly emotional, decades-old issues that then come to the forefront and everyone wants, you know, you to make a decision immediately. So that was a challenge I think we should identify. That's a very highly emotional issue. The other thing is, you know, it really is a reactive issue. It's not on our goals to work on a marine sanctuary or to forever oppose a marine sanctuary. If you look at the goals, it's not mentioned at all. We have a lot of other plans for all of us to spend our time on our issues and in terms of our fishing industry and Measure D and the things we're doing in the harbor. And none of it points out anything at this point about a sanctuary. So we were all being reactive to something that was brought to the city by, you know, an external force. And, you know, that's going to happen. That always happens. You're not going to be able to plan everything. But I think what we can learn from this is how we all responded to that reactive item being brought forward. So, you know, in hindsight, you know, sure, we said on the council level in November, let's bring this forward. And I supported that because I think you want to daylight things. I've learned that just bring it forward and have people present it. And we don't have to take any action. You don't even have to make any more comment except to say, you know, point people who are interested to, oh, go and, you know, review the meeting where, you know, that was presented. So I think it was a failing, and I'll, you know, I will take responsibility too. I can look at the agenda guide and I know what's coming up, and if I see a presentation is lagging there, and, you know, I could simply bring it up to the city manager as well, and I didn't do it. So in hindsight, that's something I wish I had done, just to get this conversation started in a general way. The second thing is, I think we've all given that feedback to staff. I know I specifically talked about this issue after our experience with it, so I think they're pretty clear on, you know, I mean, this is not the first time they've heard me say that. So I think we just have to get better at dealing with the reactive stuff. And sometimes we really do it well, and sometimes we don't. I think with the example with the state parks and taking feedback, I think that while people were confused about who was ultimately responsible, it got a lot of people out to talk about it. And you have to balance it. That was, in a way, a great experience. And I've actually had some great conversations with the 250 people who have emailed me, and I'm not, I don't think I'm exaggerating. I really don't. I was able to then create a cut and paste, because so many responded. I was able to tell them exactly what we had decided and where things were, you know, just by pasting it. And then people were super appreciative. And I think that builds goodwill, you know. And even though ultimately, really, we felt like we were getting the heat, people understood after we explained it. So that, I think, was kind of reactive, but yet I think we handled it really well. So, you know, the middle, the perfect spot is somewhere in between those two, more likely. And I think at the end, I'll just close with this on the sanctuary. I think our community needs to have the conversation. I think that it's a conversation that, you know, needs to be aired out. And I think there are many questions people have. I think there's stronger support for it than I think I realized going into it. It's been lingering. You know, I've received several emails today. So I think that, you know, obviously you've got a fishing industry that deals with day-to-day challenges with all the regulations they face. So they're very aware of the situation, and they're ready to come out and to discuss it and to explain the challenge for them. And I think, you know, daylighting it the way we did, it kind of got everybody else to kind of go, many more people to come out and say, hey, you know, well, what about this? What about that? So, you know, I also have a lot of issues that, you know, you may or may not have heard. I mean, we're doing a lot of other things about, you know, renewable energy and wind energy and wave, and how does that fit into a sanctuary? And, you know, those, and how about desalinization? Can we, you know, continue to use an ocean outfall? These are new things that the sanctuaries have to deal with because we are in a drought. So, you know, we need to put all of these things in a resolution, and that's where that resolution kind of failed me, because there were emerging issues that weren't yet accounted for officially on the City of Morro Bay side. But ultimately, it's not going to be our decision whether, you know, NOAA takes it on or not further. We will have further discussions if they do, and, you know, if they don't, then they don't. But I think, you know, things are always in motion, I think, in the city. So at any rate, we'll kind of close that. Moving on to proactive things. So when I heard some of you are happy to have extra work, and some of you say send us more work. So I would just be curious to hear conversations. What are some things that you'd like to do? And then specifically, the enterprise zone could have more focus. So I'd like to hear a little bit more about what would that look like in terms of a subcommittee, and if you're ready to take on something like that, timing wise, I would be interested to hear that. And then I think we probably should refine the chain of command, chain of communications concern, because I wasn't quite clear on how that wasn't clear, so I wanted to hear more information about that. And I did, you know, I do want to talk about what I think may be, and focus on the staff for a minute too, is I think there may be kind of a goal conflict, and I think that, Dana, you brought that up in your comments. So I know that in our goals, it says multiple things about land use. And, you know, I know that it does feel to me like it's full steam ahead on sorting out, you know, now that we've have RRM coming in to do some design work and give us some ideas, it certainly is full steam ahead on that. And, you know, the Triangle Park parking lot came into official city ownership only really recently, and you see a lot of effort down there now. So I think it does sense like there's a little perhaps goal conflict with what the council has said are priorities for the community, and then, you know, how they get implemented by staff. So I think it's good to bring it up. If you were wondering about you know, how council feels and perhaps how staff feels. I mean, I think we should just talk about it because I think that we have a lot happening at once, and, you know, we're a council that likes to move things forward. We want to hear from you how you feel about the things that we're moving forward, and I think we have very engaged staff, you can say that, that have a lot of energy. So I think that, you know, let's just have that conversation if you're willing to when it comes back or to some point transition. Thank you.
Thanks, Christine. And I think Bill had a question. And as we went through a list, there's some clarification dialogue going on here, and you mentioned something about goals. And I think that might be a good place to start. The Harbor Advisory Board, you know, there's a lot of different ideas. Develop the goals. Develop your own list of goals and have us, you know, give us that conversation. But I think there's some unanswered questions amongst many of us that maybe we better start with discussion, and I'll look to Bill because you had a question to begin with.
Well, you know, it might help in one respect, and I'm not saying anything against Eric whatsoever, but the thing that I always have in my mind, and Eric sent a letter to the state, and Noah brought this up very elegantly, the same thing that happens with the Coast Guard. What is going on with the Coast Guard building? I feel that these things, these areas, because of the fact that there's no point man, in other words, Eric's the point man, but he also has a lot of other activities on his plate. We hired an assistant economic manager, or I don't know his exact title, but the infrastructure, if we lose the Coast Guard or don't cater to the Coast Guard, and I might be talking out of turn, maybe you guys have the Coast Guard thing already handled, but the State Park Marina, what a valuable resource. If we can't get that master lease, we can't dredge that marina, we can't keep that Back Bay Cafe there, what a tremendous loss to the city of Morro Bay. I mean, those are the unique things that the Coast Guard's a unique thing. If we lose the Coast Guard, we won't be getting any dredging. And I've heard rumblings back and forth that, you know, they even called Avila Beach once. And I've mentioned this to Jamie. My point being here is that we're the advisory board. We don't really know what's going on. If you need our help, maybe somebody in our body here can be the point man, the contact of the Coast Guard. Maybe you don't want us to, but I'm just saying we maybe could be that person. Maybe we could be that person to deal with the state, an ad hoc committee, to really, you know, work on it. I mean, I've been a salesman all my life. Big projects take a lot of time, but you got to go out and you got to go, you know, and talk to them on a constant basis, as opposed to maybe send a letter and hope the state gets back to us in a month or two. And I'm not saying that, you know, you guys know what you're doing, but it just seems to me that these are lost opportunities, and if we do lose them, we won't have an opportunity to get them back at all, and that's what concerns me. You know, there's a tipping point where we can develop, and then we lose all our charm. But we have some infrastructure here that can be worked on and developed, and we can add to our charm and use us to help you. But, I mean, I'm just talking about, you know, the State Park Marina, the Coast Guard, and the aquarium. It's a good example. You know, I know there's a lot of talk, and I know that we're talking about Cal Poly. We're talking, there's really no one that really wants the lease, but can't we maybe have someone, hey, look, this is your main job. We want to have something there that is going to be a benefit to the city of Morro Bay. I don't know. I mean, you know, use us for something like that. That's just my thought. Because I think that if we don't really stay on top of these three major issues, we've got some tremendous loss. And the bulk heard the Inn at Morro Bay. I talked to the new general manager there at the Inn at Morro Bay when we went down there for the business forum, which was a wonderful, wonderful forum, as a matter of fact. They did a great job in remodeling down there. Now maybe it might be the time to discuss with the owners, hey, you know what? You have a first-class, you know, facility, and maybe they could spend some money helping us rebuild that. But there's so much opportunity, and all you do is you look at the bay. Gene knows the bay. You take one thing at a time. What's the most priority, and you just try to deal with it. Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Did the rest of your board have some comments?
Real quick comment on Noah's comment about the eelgrass. The eelgrass is cyclical, and back in the 70s and 80s, when we had droughts, you know, there wasn't as much eelgrass. I don't have any numbers, but it is cyclical. And the majority of the eelgrass that we had 5 years ago was in the Back Bay area, and that's almost all gone. And that's not so much infrastructure more in the downtown Embarcadero that's caused that loss. It's other causes. So, and we'll have to just figure that all out.
Anyone else? Ron? Dana?
I'll just go down the line. Okay. Unless you want to go first. I personally have no criticism whatsoever of the council's approach to the most recent sanctuary application proposal. I don't have any problem with the council reacting, as Christine appropriately characterized it, to an October 5 deadline, which was a federal deadline. I don't have any problem with the council using the Harbor Advisory Board to try to give the public, the proponents and the opponents of that proposal, an opportunity to provide their input in a public forum. I have no problems with the council. They didn't ask, actually, the Harbor Advisory Board to study the proposal and to try to learn something about it. I don't think you needed to do that. We did do that. That's what we're here for, in part, to the extent that we had the time to do that. I also have absolutely no criticism of the ultimate decision during the night that you folks considered that. I don't see that you had any. I think you made a wise decision, and I think it's the only one you could have made, which is to seek appropriate information for the well-being of the city at large. And 3 hours of public hyperbole is not that information. So I would add one thing. Noah, when you were talking about some of the issues, you mentioned that as an economic issue, you know, the fishermen. I would respectfully suggest, and I think that at least Mr. Heading spoke about this during the council meeting, there's much more profound, and Christine also touched on it this evening, there's much more profound potential economic issues relative to the marine sanctuary outside Morro Bay than just the fishing. There's all kinds of things, but I think you already know that. I mean, the city has identified, has made public, city staff, that there are certain potential economic development areas in particular. And I'm talking about land on the land. There's the marine sanctuary also impacts stuff, money coming ashore as well. So I understand that it's passionate. I understand that the loudest voices tend to be the folks from the environmental side. I understand that. It's what they do. It's fine. It's great. It's America. But it does need to be studied. So I applaud the decision that you made to move forward with a study. Insofar as the State Park Marina is concerned, I also think that the council acted very wisely in working through the harbor director to have the Harbor Advisory Board during a special meeting, you know, daylight that issue. I think that was a very wise decision. In hindsight, I wish that the nice ladies from the state had made a little more clear up front what the mechanism was, you know. But, you know, hindsight's a wonderful thing, right? I know now. I know now. And, Mr. Mayor, insofar as your comments about the Harbor Advisory Board's Finance Committee, just to be clear, in case there's any confusion, as a member of that committee, I think it's correct to say, the chair's not here this evening, I think it's correct to say that the purpose of that committee is to support the Harbor Department in its development of its internal budget process as directed by the city manager. The Harbor Department is, while very effective, is a small organization. It's not very deep in terms of its administrative staff, and they have a lot to do. They have a lot on their plate. They're administrating an enterprise zone, one of the three enterprise zones of the city, as you well know. So that's why we, you know, that's why we got involved in the first place, and that's why the committee was formed. We're not trying to set policy, and we're not trying to mess with your budgetary program. We're just trying to support the Harbor Department in helping to, as Christine says, to use her phrase, to daylight some of the economic issues and the finance issues. That's all. And the director's been very responsive to that process and has incorporated what he thought was important out of that process into certainly the last budget workshop. So I just to be clear, I personally, as a member of the committee, don't want to get involved in city finance per se. So there's plenty of other folks looking at that. No, that's it. Thanks. That's it.
This has probably already been touched on, but I just want to thank the council and the mayor for their open-door communication back and forth. I know I talked to quite a few of you off and on, and you know, I'm also someone who's on the water a lot with just like Gene and Lynn here in a different way, probably more so recreational. And I hope that if you guys have any questions, feel free. Staff also, with any of our ad hoc issues, I'm on the, obviously, the Marine Facilities Ad Hoc Committee, and I could even take you out on a boat, too. I'd be happy to.
Anything else, Dana?
I'd like to thank staff.
Yeah.
You guys do a great job. I know how it works.
Staff has always a lot on their plate and long hours, and I know this firsthand. So thank you. I know you don't get that very often.
Lynn?
Mostly I'll just say ditto to most of the comments already made for staff and for the City Council. And for the numerous citizens who have stopped me on the street to make comments and give their opinions, which then I see as our job to bring back to the board here and to the City Council. So thank you, citizens of Morro Bay, for paying attention to your own city.
Yeah, thank you.
I have one last comment, you know, and on in some direction here, which is, I believe, going to be on our next board agenda. Is it the City Council's, and I don't know if this is the appropriate body, Council's attention for the Harbor Advisory Board to be looking at inspecting all boats in the harbor, which we don't do currently? Isn't that on our agenda Thursday?
No, what's you're talking about the marine sanitation device issue?
Correct.
No, that's not on for Thursday.
Okay.
So I saved you from having to answer that.
But that's something that, you know, has been brought up over and over again. I mean, and I'm just wondering the council's opinion on that.
I'll respond to that, but I think that one of the broader issues is the clean marina position. And I think this council and with the Harbor Advisory Board and through other lease negotiations, that's been one of the criteria. So I think as a city, we've committed to that. And under that umbrella, does that address that? I'll look to our staff member who probably has a little bit more expertise than myself.
Yeah, thank you, Mayor. And so I think probably the broader answer to that question, you started, Mayor Arnes, with that answer, and that, yeah, we've got a sort of an umbrella of things that we're trying to accomplish with council's direction and council's approval. That issue in particular, at some point through the Harbor Advisory Board, through all our rules and regulations and municipal code update that we're in the process of doing, that's still a work in progress, eventually that will wind its way back to the council, and the council may look at that. Most of the specific things that we're looking at in that broader rules and regulations and municipal code update, I haven't, and I don't have direct council, that's not the right term, I don't have specific council direction to look at, you know, this one and this one and that one. I'm looking at overall update of the rules and regulations and muni code, that using the Harbor Advisory Board as a vehicle to get the public input and the Harbor Advisory Board input, and then eventually bring that to council. At that point, the council will see it. But so, yeah, we don't go to them to that degree of specificity.
Do you have some comments, Dave?
Not on that specific item, but on the broader question of communication, if it might be good to. So the document, is this officially called the City of Morro Bay Advisory Board's Handbook and Bylaws, is the document that's been referred to. So indeed, in the introduction, it talks about the advisory boards advising both the city council and the city manager. As you get down into the bylaws, it does not specify city manager also, but it does say that the city manager will be, or his representative, his or her representative, will be the liaison to the advisory boards. And it also discusses reports in there and notes that advisory boards will provide various reports and recommendations to other advisory bodies and to the council. I guess we could make an argument that we should update those bylaws to specifically talk about staff to be more consistent with the introduction. So my best understanding of the role is that the staff is the normally the primary vehicle of communication from the various advisory boards to the council. And that normally comes in the form of a staff report going to the council that says, and the advisory board input and recommendation on this subject was X, Y, and Z. As we discussed earlier, it is completely appropriate for the board as a board to write a letter, write a report, and send that directly to the city council, which other advisory boards tend to do more often. The WRFCAC on a fairly regular occasion will draft a letter which they have approved as a committee and sent directly to the council. So I think the in the normal day-to-day operations, the staff, certainly the advisory board doesn't work for the staff. They advise the city council. They primarily do that through the staff. And in the discussion about sort of what's going on and how can we be more help, which is our two separate issues and are both great. So at advisory board meetings, it's completely appropriate for the board to ask the staff questions that may not be on the agenda. And so, for example, the answer to what's happening with the aquarium on the 28th of April, the council moved to direct the staff to work directly with the Central Coast Aquarium to try to bring the Central Coast Aquarium to the aquarium site. That's the update that came from the council. The staff, me, was working on that as recently as about 3 hours ago on a phone call with one of the board members of the Central Coast Aquarium. So that's something that is ongoing. And so in areas in which a board has interest and is wondering what's going on, asking the question of the staff is great. So that there's, you know, probably some input. So I guess the next one would be the marina, which is what a great asset. We've got, and you have, I think we all have, long-term concerns on the marina, especially with dredging. And so that's probably a great example of an area where extra assistance from the Harbor Advisory Board would be very much appreciated. And I'll also say that I think the advisory board staff relationship is two-way enough that that the advisory boards can certainly bring items to the staff. Hey, what about this? What about this? Can you work on this? You know, the marina, the Coast Guard, the Annapurna Bay bulkhead, aquarium. Bring us information on that, or here's some ideas on that. And on those sort of things, Eric would receive those. And then Eric would likely, if he's wise, come to me and say, okay, boss, where do you want those to fit in the priority? And this is a great example, I guess, of how this, you know, process could work. If the advisory board feels strongly that something should be addressed and staff is choosing to give you the Heisman, then that would be a great occasion for the advisory board to write a letter to the council that says, hey, we think this is a significant issue. The staff is not working it like is not giving it the priority we think it deserves, and we want to raise that to you. I completely.
We need to avoid doing that.
I
don't think that's a positive thing for anybody, with respect. So what I think we've talked about this internally, what we could benefit from, and it doesn't have to be tonight, at council's convenience. It was my understanding when I joined the board that the advisory board served at the pleasure and the purpose of the city council. Okay. So I look to the city council, however they choose to do this, to provide us from time to time, if things change, they change, with the communications protocol that they would like at least this particular body to pursue. And whatever it is whatever it is. And if it incorporates what the city manager just said, fine, it's fine. But we would like to know. And I if his priorities, which are ultimately your priorities, don't line up with my priorities, then I need to address that with you folks. I don't need to address that with the council.
I agree. I guess what I was trying to describe is, as you said, as the document says, the advisory boards are there to advise the city council. And if the Public Works Advisory Board identifies an issue with infrastructure in Morro Bay that is a substantial issue, and for some reason the staff is not being responsive, and in the PWAB's professional judgment, the city is at risk because the staff isn't being responsive, then there is an outlet. That's all I was trying to communicate. But we are trying to be responsive both to city council and to the ideas that come up from below.
You know, Dave, I didn't mean that I talk to Eric about the Coast Guard all the time and the State Park Marina. I mean, he's done everything he's in his power. I was just, in a broader scale, concerned as a citizen, not even so much as a Harbor Advisory Board, that, and I guess I'm just frustrated as a citizen that it just goes so slow. But I don't think you're doing a bad job whatsoever. I just, you know, so I hope you didn't take offense to that, you know, in the sense of I know what's going on with the Coast Guard. I know what's going on with the State Park Marina. I know what's going on in the aquarium. I mean, I'm informed on that. My point being is that I just am frustrated that it's not done yet, I guess, is the point.
Well, I can appreciate that's, that. That's yeah. not what I heard, so I appreciate that.
That's all I'm trying to say.
What I heard was we don't know what's going on with these various things, and if that's the case, then,
no, it's not.
Then
it's
please
not.
Ask.
No, it's not. And I was at Eric's office this morning. I mean, I have an open door with Eric, and I'm just sharing that probably with the city council. Hey, if you think of anything that we can do, and I, as a chair and a concerned citizen, am concerned that, you know, these things aren't done yet. That's all.
So, since we're having some response and more dialogue here, I know, Noah, you've got a question. I just want to jump in a little bit on the explanation on how, you know, to communicate and, you know, through staff and priorities. And I appreciate the fact that we were discussing priorities, because that's what we talk about with goals, and that was one of the things that we were talking about. You know, I took notes. Bill, you were talking about priorities as well. What's the priorities? Coast Guard, aquarium, bulkhead, all these things, right? Well, I guess it goes back to what Dave was talking about. Hey, if there's a higher priority in your view that needs to be raised to council, let us know that. But going back, Ron, I just want to be clear. I just want to keep going on this, because there's the question on we shouldn't be doing that today while he was describing that. And I was thinking to myself, through various advisory boards and sitting on an advisory board, the advisory board orientation, the orientation in which you got coming onto the advisory board for Harbor may be different than Public Works and Planning Commission. But I think the question you're asking is that communication. And quite frankly, it should have been part of the orientation and how we do that. Now we're discussing that here at this meeting, which is great. But I think we were kind of diving into that form of communication and how we do that. But there was something that you were specifically objecting to and the model and how we're doing that. So I just want to revisit that through your conversation so I understand your concern and how we talk through that.
My orientation...
and I'm not being critical that it wasn't a good orientation, but this is good stuff.
This is good.
Yeah.
This is really good for me anyway. During my orientation for the Harbor Advisory Board, it was made clear to me, which I appreciated and accepted, that the Harbor Advisory Board, as I have already said, works for and at the pleasure of the council, which means two different things, or means a variety of things. I was also told during my orientation that the principal that communication between the Harbor Advisory Board or a given Harbor Advisory Board member and the council, for reasons of obvious efficiency, would go through the liaison, the council liaison. That's what I was told during my orientation. So, and I, as I said when I opened my mouth to talk about this, I don't care how it goes, because you guys need to decide how it's going to go. I just need to know how it's supposed to go. And I don't want to put these folks in a bad spot.
Neither do we.
You know, I'm sure you don't.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's just counterproductive, right?
Yeah.
So it doesn't get anything done. Hopefully that clarified. That was my orientation.
Very helpful. And I think part of that is being a liaison, is being very sensitive to that type of interaction, because it's not necessarily that particular liaison or council member that's kind of the driving force of the direction of that particular advisory board. That's not appropriate. So it seems kind of, as you know, we kind of circle around through the process Dave was talking about, hey, we've got a certain concern. Take it to council. You know, council will, you know, whether or not we have to reprioritize. I think that's, you know, I think that's appropriate as well. But I'll come back to that, because I know Noah was wanting to jump in on this as well, and I'll circle back to some of my comments on this. Noah.
Yes, thank you. And one of the items that I know we're all aware of, and we talked about it at some of the other joint meetings just earlier, but we should not diminish or underestimate the importance of having these conversations in the public forum and airing the information out there so it's accessible. That's one of the key benefits of the advisory bodies, is giving a place for more depth of discussion and dialogue. And Mr. LaFay, you pointed out that you do have that information, but many people in the community do not. And so as you have your dialogue and you're thinking about maybe an item that should probably come to the advisory board or would be worth some time for the advisory board, future agenda item seems like a good place on your meetings that happens annually to raise that, get the consensus of the rest of the committee that something that's worth some time. I don't see our staff currently doing this, but I think there could be a concern where, in the worst case, where staff could become a firewall of communication between the council and the advisory board. So I think we're in a situation right now where things seem to be flowing fairly smoothly between us, but we shouldn't just take that for granted. And it feels great tonight sitting here and being able to talk with you all directly, work through some of the key things that have been on your plate and your challenge list, and be able to express some of the things from our end too. So I think a balance of all of this is really healthy and can help us avoid creating smaller situations becoming much more of a problem, and to be proactive on some of these things that you guys are seeing, because as was pointed out, you are on the water more than any of us. The Finance Committee has a broader background in finance than any of us. So that's why you're here. We expect you to be an arm of our decision-making, and we really depend on your communications. So just wanted to make sure that was clear, and that we, due to the Brown Act and then just the need for public information, it's good to air it out on the microphones and come up with a consensus from the committee before you take any real substantive action.
John?
My opinion is that this body, in essence, in terms of prioritization of issues and follow through on issues that have not been addressed in a lengthy period of time, which is really reprioritization, is a function of the same thing that the city council does. And that is, it reprioritizes items on a routine basis, at least monthly, and has an ongoing, how far ahead, six-month agenda set, not completed staff reports, but listed items that have to return based upon either timelines that have to be met, prioritized needs by staff. And then there are always things that come in at you, obviously, that you're going to be hit with that become priorities all of a sudden. And so the triumvirate of the harbor director and your chair and the liaison sitting down and having a frank discussion of what are those issues that you're frustrated about that haven't come back, like maybe the haul-out facility, you know, as an example, and or this process or that, and what might be our plan to get it on the agenda, and when, and where do we go from here. And if nothing happens at your level, then it moves up to the next level, which would be the city council, with your report based upon the information that you have received. And Eric routinely, I know, has conversation with the city manager, who's giving input and guidance as well, so you don't have to have a team of four, five, six people doing that. And so with that model, I don't think it differs really a lot from the model that we use when we set our agendas. And I think, and Noah mentioned also, a routine ongoing, what do you think we should have on the agenda next month? I mean, every time we end our meeting, you know, future agenda items. Yeah, and that's an important piece of this thing. Otherwise, we just get frustrated because stuff doesn't get back, And at least I know I can go through my list now, and I know when something's coming back. So I try to plan ahead and figure out what I need to read or what I can get until I get a staff report in my hand that has a lot of detailed information. I don't know if that helps, but that model seems to work in terms of prioritization, and I think we'd all be open up to it. So.
Thanks, John. I just want to cover a couple more notes that I have. One of them is goals, and I talked briefly about that. Agendize that. Set, goals. And dig into it, whether it's timed with the next budget, but set it. Go into the setting goals and having that type of discussion information, not just for the Harbor Advisory Board, but for the community and council and everybody to hear as well. And that, to what John was talking about, was, that kind of sets the work path as well. You're not necessarily doing future agenda items, but you're working through things. Eric has an idea to prioritize things. He's prioritizing is one of the key issues. I wanted to make one comment on the marina. I think it was there was a couple of mistakes. When we look at in hindsight, you all made a recommendation to council. In hindsight, one of the mistakes was not bringing that back to council. You made a recommendation to council to go ahead to move ahead on that. We probably should have taken that on as a discussion item, and even if it was just publicly saying, yes, we want this is what we want to do, because it needed, for one, it should have been aired out for the public to understand what's happening with it. Is one big key component, and I think that's one of the other things we need. We could probably improve on, maybe with all our advisory boards, as far as taking those recommendations back to council. You're making a recommendation; we should respect that and hear it and discuss it. So, that's one thing that I just wanted to speak to. I do want to make sure that there wasn't any misunderstanding as far as the capital and the finance budget committee. Totally support that. That's enough said there. I think we need to summarize. Noah, you had one more comment.
Yeah, something that I think is important to recognize, and I think we're aware of it, but to make sure that we consider as we formulate recommendations between the Harbor Advisory Board and the council, or talking about goals and so forth, to not put staff in a situation where we're expecting them to basically be managing two sets of priorities. It is our responsibility as the council to be able to review this and set the policy, give staff clear direction, let them run with it. If you guys see an opportunity that we're missing or within the current set of priorities that staff's basically following with, if you do get a Heisman or, we can't spend that much time on this right now, it's probably because there's upper level priorities that they're functioning off of and trying to complete. And that's where I think some communication between our bodies could help, so that's, the problem would arise if there was an expectation that your body could then tell Eric, hey, look, we want you to work on this, and it becomes, basically pulling Eric in two different directions. And that's the thing we should avoid at all costs. Yeah, and I just think it's important to point that out. But there is room for us to recognize a shift that might be needed, and to support you and staff to be able to make that, so it's clear about where the direction's coming from.
Closing comments other than that? Christine?
Oh, are we ready for this?
Yeah, please.
Okay. Are you sure you don't want to talk a little bit more? It's only 8:30.
We'll
go home. Okay. Great. It's been a great experience all night. You got to hear some of the other chat we had, but I think specifically not having this before with you has been a great experience to hear your feedback. So thank you for being honest. I'm glad we were able to discuss things openly here. One last thing I wanted to point out is that I did hear, while you're all very aware of the specific issues that are existing already in relation to the harbor and the maintenance of the harbor and who's in the harbor, I just wanted to point out that what I heard a lot of you say is you'd love to see more focus on the economic aspects of the harbor beyond the Measure D area that we have right now, that we're all pretty clear about. And I wanted to just direct you to something that the city released today. So an RFP just went out, and it will be out for a month, for an economic development strategic plan. And on page 8 of the document, and it's posted under bids on the city council, or excuse me, on the city website. And the line under scope of the services says that the city of Morro Bay is seeking to diversify its economy. So that's where we are, and I think what I hear you saying is, you know, yes, there are these basics about the harbor that we all love and we all enjoy and we know their challenges, but what else can we do? What more can we do? How can we enhance? So I would just encourage you to take a look at the document and then pay attention if you're interested and let Eric know, hey, you know what, if there's an opportunity to give, well, and there will be because you see all the different kinds of public input that we're asking the consultant firm who comes in to help us with this. There are lots of opportunities for input, but specifically it may be really great to take that to all of our advisory boards and see what they have. But I just heard that specifically from this one. So that would be a great way for you to help us focus on these things that aren't currently written down in anyone's goals as directly, especially things that, and the scope is 5 to 10 years, so a 5-year plan, then a 10-year plan. So these things that we're talking about now, in order for them to happen, they need to be written down somewhere and get prioritized. So if you're interested in that, just want to let you know that's happening. Okay, so otherwise, good night and thank you.
Thanks, Christine. Before we close, Dave, did you have one more comment?
Yeah, I'm sorry to be in here between that, but I did want to just hit two things. So on goals and objectives, the council will be developing objectives for fiscal year 16-17 starting in January, so like we did last year, January, February. So now is the time that my staff should be working with advisory boards to get your input on what we should bring to council for their consideration to make objectives likely under the 10 existing goals for next year. So that's one of the places we'll go to start to put that together is to the advisory board. So I'm hopeful that you could participate in that. Well, not hopeful, I'm sure that you will and look forward to that. The other issue is, and so I'm mildly to moderately concerned about this, and I think it's something we need to look at as a council and staff and boards, is the question of council liaisons. And I say that because actually council liaisons are not addressed at all in the advisory board handbook or in the bylaws. And in fact, 50% of California cities don't use council liaisons to the advisory board. And perhaps to avoid maybe what my moderate concern here is that the bylaws say that the city manager or his or her representative, Eric, is the liaison to the advisory board. So in my construct, the primary liaison for an advisory board to the city council is the staff member, and that's sort of what I tried to describe earlier. Mm-hmm. And that's what's written in the bylaws in the standard operating procedure for the advisory boards. There's a council resolution that says council liaisons will be assigned to facilitate communication and to, the second thing it says is to essentially improve council knowledge of specific areas of the city. So, Mr. Mayor, I think that's something we probably should take a look at, is how do we want to in what way should we make modifications to that so it's clear what the role is and what the primary communication link is between advisory boards and the council? Is it the council liaison? Is it the staff? Which is it? So that's something we should look at. Mm-hmm.
Thanks. And now back to closing remarks. Thanks, John.
And thank you for that, Mr. Buckingham. And let me clarify what I said earlier. As your new liaison, my style may be different than what you're used to. I will not attend your meetings by choice. I will watch your meetings on television. However, I find when having been a former chief executive officer for many years of hospitals, when I'm in the room, I'm the one that people look to for all the answers. And your body needs to be functional and do its work with staff present. And that communication needs to occur, I believe, routinely. However, I will meet with your chair on a routine basis, monthly, quarterly, daily, whatever he desires in terms of need to have access to me and to bring back to you any information that you may have or require or request of him from me. And that at times could include the staff liaison, but Eric is your primary, in my mind, at the meeting. He's the one that should be contacted to. He has the knowledge of operations, his people, the issues, what's going on. I'm there to support him, yourself. And so that's the way I operate with TBID. That is the way I will operate with the Finance Committee. And I just wanted to let you know up front, I will not be at your meetings on purpose because you need to do your work. But I will always be available to your chair or anybody that would want to seek me out individually at any time. So FYI, thank you so much for that. Thanks. And thank you for the evening. Great discussion.
Yeah.
Appreciate all that you do and how difficult the issues are. Thanks.
Noah? Did you really? Oh, okay. All right. Well, with that, thanks again for this joint meeting. Long overdue. We will make it another. Actually, that'd be a good discussion for you all too. What's a good frequency for these joint meetings and timing? So maybe that would be something good for you to discuss and consider as well. But look forward to the next one. Thanks very much. And that will adjourn our special meeting. Thank you. Yeah, it's happening.